Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast Episode 2 for February 2009.
Tell a thousand years of golden fire, so hot. A carving of a man and a superman, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his freedom from Osmond's shore. Fought all the evil hordes, and he's the real one, Hal Jordan. Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
Episode 2 for February 2009. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Reed, webmaster and creator of the Green Lantern Spotlight and poor grammar guy. Happy Star Sapphire Month. I hope you're with someone you love this month. I hope everybody enjoyed Episode 1 because we're a hit, and we're going to do this for the long haul now. And speaking of the long haul, we have our favorite Spotlighters back with us. Well, some of them, and some new people, too. And we'll start, of course, with Kuhan, creator and webmaster for the Parkcast and editing guru, as well as spelling checker. How are you doing there, Kuhan? W. West, the man behind Wally's World blog and the Green Lantern Course mess board, and, of course, ironing master. How are you doing there, West?
Oh, my God.
Will Sandez, I don't know where he is, so Will, we're thinking of you come join us because we got to share the Ben and Jerry's. I only got fudgesicles in the freezer today.
Yeah.
And joining us for their first time, we have Rainer2814. Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for the welcome, guys, and let's try to do this for the long haul.
Oh, you got that. Hey, Ray, why don't you tell us a little about yourself there since we didn't get it at the first show?
Well, what to say? I'm a 24-year-old kid from New York, New York. I'm from the Big Apple.
Yay!
Hey,
thank you.
That's
who
Will is.
He's on Long Island.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Let's meet up.
He's like a secondary cousin. I don't really speak that much.
It's better than the uncle you don't speak to on the Verizon commercials, right?
Oh, of course not. He still owes me money, but still.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
But aside from that, I've been a Green Lantern fan for like 10 years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been for a better part of a decade.
Jeez, I've only been alive for the better part of a decade.
Well, that seems to be your problem, not my Kuhan.
I've been in this world for a decade and a half.
And so is my sister, so you two should chat.
Oh, youngin, you still have a long ways to go.
Be careful, he'll mute you there.
Ouch.
Well, everybody, well, let's cover our news here. We got some nice little stuff going on, as well as some information today. And first word of business, upside down lantern symbols. We'll get to that a little later. Go on, everybody. He's playing up at the Apollo there. Don't tip him.
Hey, wait a second. How am I living, bro? Come on.
I'm kidding, man.
I don't have a real job.
Don't you need a worker's permit? I mean, you're 15, man.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a real job. I play outside, you know, music theaters.
Good point.
Exactly. That's how it works. You need
to play the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. They don't make me, and I'm editing it one more week.
You
see that catchy tune? We should seriously market that.
Yeah. You don't need a work permit to be a hobo.
All you need to do is be able to do the money dance, and that's pretty much it.
Exactly. All you have to have is a hat and clothes.
That explains Dick Cheney.
No. I'm cheating.
But he can't even do the money dance anymore.
No, he just takes out a gun.
In that wheelchair.
Exactly.
Man, poor guy. I'm just going to say that.
So seeing as this is the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast,
let's do some Green Lantern news here, because, you know, all right, sorry, folks, forgive us. It's Friday, and we've all been drinking. Anyhow.
I'm 15, I can't drink.
Didn't say we were drinking alcohol, I just say we've been drinking.
I have been drinking Coke, so there we go.
No, we're not.
I'm 15. Powerade.
Yeah, there you go. First order of business, since this is the Green Lantern Corps we're covering today, Bo Smith is writing the Green Lantern Corps annual, which will star Guy Gardner, everybody.
Yay!
Woo. Awesome.
We don't have a release date yet. Possibly late spring, so we're looking towards maybe May. It's definitely supposed to come out before Blackest Night. That is all I have, unfortunately, at this moment. But I'm really looking forward to it, because we always need more Guy Gardner.
This is true.
You can never get enough of Guy Gardner.
And his get-in-your-face attitude.
And Moon Batman and need a shave at the same time. Anywho. Then also, the next piece of news, and if anybody's checking out the New York Comic Con bits right now, and you probably are by the time this podcast airs, but Flash Rebirth preview pages are up, and oh man, Ethan's got some beautiful art, beautiful work there, but sadly, our buddy Moose is not the colorist on it.
And I jizz in my pants.
And Wes, what do you think about this, since you're the big Flash guy?
Let's see. The art is subpar for Ethan's standards, but at the same time, it's still some of the best work out in DC. But as for movement not being on it, it's a letdown. But I think Alex would do a fine job, judging by the preview pages.
I didn't like the JSA pages. I like the Titans page and I like the first page. But the JSA pages, I didn't really like those. His Jay Garrick was a little weird, and his Alan Scott was a lot... No one did as well as you do it in Rebirth.
Yeah, Jay's got kind of a long jaw, kind of a Raging Bull look going there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Jay Garrick looked completely weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when he was looking in his helmet. I was looking for the reflection to say, hey, I look better than you. What happened?
when he was, like, the first panel of him, I looked at him and I was like, oh... This is Ethan Van Sciver? Hell, it looks like... I don't even know.
It's easy to say that his work is great at times. You know, he has his good days, he has his off days at times. But I like the work. I like the work. The color could use a lot, you know, could be a lot better. Moose would be awesome. But,
then DC goes and says, hey, we don't like you anymore. Because, you know, we're not very jealous.
Well, that's just DC for you.
Exactly.
I still did like the Flash of Two Worlds part.
Yeah, that was nice.
If anything, I'll read it just for that one panel. And then I don't know what I'll do with the rest of the books, but still.
You know what sucks? is that I didn't see... There was no Barry Allen.
Oh, yeah. You have these giant banners saying, welcome back, Barry, but yet...
There was Barry.
No, there was no Barry. Oh, no. There was Flashback Barry. That's all I saw. Yeah, there was two panels of Flashback Barry where you barely even saw him.
Right.
You saw him buy a ticket.
Oh, what? That was his hand.
You saw the back of his hand and his leather jacket.
You saw the back of his hand and that is not Barry. That is Barry Allen's hand. There's a big difference.
We're not here about hand models now. We're about
Barry
Allen.
Not Barry fucking Allen.
My hand. No, it is your hand.
Hey, check it out. Yeah, it's my hand. Oh, yeah. No. I said we didn't see Barry Allen. I never said we didn't see Barry Allen's hand.
Go back and look at it. You can see his head with
head.
A D.
Head.
Head.
Oh, head.
Head.
Head. Okay.
The Where? Blind guy.
Yeah, that would be him. I'm actually looking at the page now. You're right. That is Barry.
I gotta go find the pages now.
Yeah.
Oh, Wes, you contradicting me makes me do things.
Oh, Wes got me.
Got me too, man. I thought my mispronunciation of words were gonna get me today. Apparently, my eyes are helping me.
Okay.
Yeah, I got called Dr. Story. Hey, Dr. Story, I don't know, man. I can't pronounce things right. I can't see things right. I think you just need to fix me or something.
No. All you need is a 2 drinks minimum. You'll be fine.
I'm on the bottled water down to a quarter, so you know the Charlot is coming out next.
Right, but before you listen to this podcast, be sure to get plenty drunk. That'll make
We're
it
all
so
sober, folks.
It'll make it so much more enjoyable.
Well, moving on from that, speaking of colorists, Final Crisis is officially over. Well, to a point. Legion of Three Worlds is still working. But there were several coloring and a few dialogue errors, and according to Grant and Dan, they are definitely going to have that fixed in the trade. So we will talk a little bit more about that with the Final Crisis podcast next in a week or so. And next really big news here is Warner Brothers is negotiating with Martin Campbell to direct the Green Lantern live-action film based on the DC hero. Campbell last directed Casino Royale and recently wrapped the Mel Gibson in the star Edge of Darkness, based on the 85 BBC miniseries series that Campbell also helmed. The emergence of Campbell, who has helmed two Zorro films and the 007 GoldenEye, puts Green Lantern at the top of the DC properties, being set for movie treatment by the WB. While the studio is hoping to direct director Chris Nolan will follow its 2008 smash of The Dark Knight for another Bat film, DC projects such as Superman and Justice League were expected to happen quickly, but have stalled, or in this case, dead. So instead, the Green Lantern and Jonah Hex, the latter will has Josh Brolin set, to play a disfigured gunslinger in a film that begins production in April, which is directed by Jimmy Hayward, who did Horton Hears a Who, which I'm a little worried about.
That's a great casting, though. I like.
I thought he was actually perfect. When I read that the other day, I was like, oh, man, that'd be perfect for Jonah Hex. I'm a Jonah Hex fan.
Same here.
I actually saw Brolin. What
do you think? No, I enjoy a good Jonah Hex. Sadly enough, I've only been introduced to him during the Batman animated series. A great introduction.
See, I read him in Booster Gold. I like that. Jeff Johns writing.
Oh, that was beautiful.
But I loved Josh Brolin. I was having that live when he was talking about how he had just recently finished a film about the life of a prominent political figure. No Country for Old Men, where he played a young John McCain.
Without being poked through a bamboo cage. I want to be president. No, I want to be a gunslinger. Okay.
Okay. So now, I'm just gonna bring this back to the first thing we talked about. Wes, do you mean where you see the back of his head on page one? Because if that's what you mean, that does not count.
Well, I'm not looking at it right now. Is he wearing a leather jacket?
Yeah, when you see the back of his head.
That's Barry Allen.
Yeah, that's Barry Allen. But you see, like, the back, like. Tiny little figure.
It counts.
Tune in for the April podcast where we'll have Moose on here and we'll be talking everything Flash. And I know Wes is going to take the lead on there.
Okay. Now let's move forward to the background.
Yeah, and the last bit of business, this actually kind of goes with the last podcast as well as recently announced today at the New York Comic Con is the designs for the new Green Lantern figures that include, of course, St. Walker, who now has the fish tail. So sad to say, folks, it's here to stay. Our favorite Red Lantern, except it's upside down. His logo is upside down. It's going to be our new logo. It means friendship, folks. Remember,
big love.
Big love. Love. Shake hands.
It's the
remember,
it's the,
two bars in a circle means star.
It's the alternate star sapphire symbol.
Which works perfectly for the theme of the Green Lantern Spotlight this month with Green, you know, Star Sapphire Month.
Exactly!
You know,
we did it! Speaking of which...
Thanks, DC Direct! Now pay us!
So there's a... I don't think you saw this, but there's more toys. There's from the ones we talked about last time, there were the, you know, the Boudica, the Atrocitus, St. Walker, and the spoilerific... Superman Earth 2. But about a week later, there was more. It was John Stewart. Who else was it?
The leader of the Indigo Lanterns.
Yeah, John Stewart, the Indigo Woman. Who else? Oh, in my mind.
It wasn't Agent Orange. Who was it?
It wasn't Agent Orange. It wasn't Violet, wasn't it?
It was Crib.
And then another spoilerific, Martian Manhunter Black Lantern.
Which was effing cool.
Hell yes.
I saw that and I was like, oh man, John's back. He's gonna kick your ass.
He's out for vengeance.
Yes. Yeah. This will be a good story. I mean, come on. They've got Earth 2 Superman and John Jones. I mean, I don't see how to get him out of this.
I have to agree, especially if the Earth 2 Wonder Woman, who also technically died during Infinite Crisis, shows up too. We basically got the Black Lantern in Justice League.
Wait, what? No, Earth 2 Wonder Woman died in Infinite Crisis.
But she showed up in Infinite Crisis, helping the main Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she showed up in
her invisible. You're right. Yes, I remember that now.
That was going to be her last act before she too would go.
Yeah.
Like I said, I see it. We're going to have the Black Lantern Justice League, the Black Lantern Justice Society, and the Black Lantern Teen Titans. Boy, the Teen Titans are going to be pissed.
There are
so many. The Teen Titans will technically be huge.
There's so many dead Titans. I would suck to be on that team.
And they're all going to go with Deathstroke. Yeah.
Everybody on that team dies. Like being
Deathstroke and Black Adam. It's just not going to be pretty. All right, so that's our news for now. And as much as we all think it's great and everything, because I want the crib figure. I want it right here by the picture of my family, just to scare my siblings when they come visit me.
I want to see the crib figure if it has, like, you know, accessible small lantern babies.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that would just be sick. That would be sick and wrong.
No, it'd be weird if it was great. Like, each lantern figure has a small little baby you can get attached to your rib.
That is fucking wrong!
You are terrible.
Horrible! You are a horrible, horrible person!
This is our last podcast, everybody. Nice knowing you.
Oh my god! We're gonna get phoned by some, like, you know, the Children Home Society, like, yes! Mr. Rander 2814, you're under arrest!
You're
having, like, dead babies in your house? Jesus. Oh, my God. I'm going to need to go upstairs and pour in my toilet now. Oh, God.
Maybe I should record and we'll see her talking to not.
Oh.
We do this for some reason. We don't know why, and I apologize for everybody for organizing this thing months ago. But, hey, we're here and we're staying.
I'm going to have to report you, man. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, where's Will with that Ben and Jerry's? I think I need some right now.
Maybe we should move on to the actual discussion portion.
Yeah, let's move on to that. I'll straighten up my books, my notes here. Oh, wow.
Let's go to the topic.
Yeah. Anyhow, so we're gonna review Green Lantern Corps from Recharge of Sins of the Star Sapphire, which, of course, like I said, it's Star Sapphire Month. Love, everybody, love. Or something, I don't know. I got a cat looking at me strange with his orange lantern ring on, so, you know, we'll talk about Agent Orange next month. Anyhow.
If you hear the sound of things falling on my microphone, blame Rainer. Okay.
If you hear ironing, that's all us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Wes, man. You know I love you. So we're going to start it all. We're going to start right off the bat with Green Lantern Recharge, everybody, which took place almost immediately after Green Lantern Rebirth, or at least that's why it was written. But the Hal Jordan's returning to life, and Kyle Rayner, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, Kilowog, and all your favorites are back, and they are training the next generation of Green Lanterns. The difference is now, instead of one Green Lantern per sector, which originally was 3,600 sectors, it's now two to a sector, making it 7,200 Green Lanterns.
They only did that because there were so many Earth Green Lanterns. They're like, well, we can't just fire any of them. Let's put these two in Honor Guard and let's make it two per sector.
Yeah, Green Lantern tenure is the best.
Yeah, tenure.
So the issue pretty much starts with good old our buddy Guy, you know, going to get talking to Hal and John and grabbing Kyle, and before they all head to Oa, Guy decides to say goodbye to Batman by mooning outside the Justice League watchtower, and then Kyle takes off all by Batman saying, "Boy, Guy, tell the Guy you need a shave."
Best scene ever.
It was one of the best lines. That was just one of the best things that I've ever. But,
bye bats.
Yeah, so they're off to Oa, and meanwhile, the Green Lantern of 1417, and for those who don't know, that is originally Sinestro's sector of space back in the day. Green Lantern Tarkus is helping take care of a supernova problem that's in the area, and he is sucked into a singularity and dies, and his ring flies away. And the ring goes to Krugar, which of course was Sinestro's home, and recruits Saranik Natu, Dr. Saranik Natu, to be the replacement in the Green Lantern for Sector 1417.
I swear you're butchering that name, I just told you what the pronunciation is anyway, so just keep going.
Well, actually, I know it's Saranik Natu because Jeff said it a couple times in Chicago, and they actually spelled it out line, so I know I'm saying her name right, at least.
Wow.
At least I got her last name.
So. You got her
score
name.
Score one for Ryan. I know it's a -6 on this side of the board, but, you know, we got at least 1 point, so I'm on my way.
Every little bit helps.
We should have a little sound effect for every time you pronounce something like... or like a little wah, wah, wah if you do it wrong.
Oh, God, I fear when we talk to Ron Mars next month. Anywho. So anyhow, Natu, of course, rejects it, but then her patient starts crashing. She has no choice but to put on the Green Lantern ring to save her patient who's in surgery. Well, she succeeds in saving the patient, but in doing so, she's pretty much exiled from her home world and considered damned. Meanwhile, more Green Lantern rings are finding new users. One finds to Vatsar. Yes, that's how you say it. Of Ran, who's a military... I'm sorry, what?
Star, there's an N.
Oh, it is an N?
Yeah.
Damn.
S-A-R-F.
Good lord. Okay, that's a negative.
Wah, wah, wah.
And we're back where we started.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who's a military soldier on Ran. He's in the middle of a battle. Gets his ring. He wants to use the ring on the people he's fighting, but sorry, the ring's not going to let him and takes an OPA. And meanwhile, just across the solar system over on Thanagar, one of the lizard people, or the Lizardians, whatever you want to call them, I don't think we've actually gotten the exact thing for their race. You know, they've been around.
Lizard Khan or something.
Lizard
Khan?
They're just Thanagarians who don't fly. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, they've been around for like 30-some years, and I don't think they've ever kind of up with a name. But Izmat Cole, who's, of course, Thomas...
Izmat, there's a name. I-S-A-M-O-T. And we're down to negative.
Yes, folks, I love myself and hate myself at the same time. Also,
we love
Green
you, Ryan.
And he's saved from execution. So in a way, he pretty much says, so long, suckers, and he heads to Oa. Well, we get to Oa, and Kilowog is bringing in all the new recruits, pretty much telling them, you know, this is what you do, and this is what you're going to do. So, you know, either listen to him or ship out. And, of course, Natu says, I'm shipping out. She doesn't want to be a Green Lantern, and takes off to leave. Meanwhile, the training begins, and, of course, already Moth and Izmat are, of course, at each other's throats because, of course, Ran and Thanagar hate each other because they're on the opposite side, and, you know, even though two alien races made them go to war, they still hate each other for some reason. And they still are fighting here now 5 years later, so figure that one out.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid.
I have to agree.
Although, but they're, you know, I guess it makes sense. There was a war, and they figured, hey, you know, we got into war. We hate each other now. It's the same reason that the British hate the... Wait, hold on. Oh, no. Yeah, it's the same reason the British hated the Americans for so long, and the Americans hated the British, because that we got in one, you know, all we did was dump a little bit of tea, but no, like, you know, all we did was make their tea for them, all they had to do was heat it up, but no, they just got all pissed.
And so Gail Simone's writing the Mad Hatter right now in Secret Six, everybody, you either make your tea right or it makes you drink it. Or he talks to his hat.
I thought they got rid of the Mad Hatter. I'm confused.
No, you gotta read out Secret Six, number six.
But there's only room for one crazy person on the Secret Six.
Shove.
Boing. Anywho, also Mongo gets attacked by the Citadel for some reason. Don't ask me why. Everybody just likes to attack a giant planet that's a Green Lantern. And Natu ends up getting captured by one of the singularities on her way back home, and she pretty much starts facing some dark shadows, saying she's not afraid, and sends out a distress call. Well, the Green Lanterns receive this call, and Kyle, Guy, and the other new Green Lanterns head to go find her and end up in the Vegas system. And you can't go to the Vegas system because it's off limits. And, of course, the rings can't even translate because they find Natu being tortured by one of the prisoners there. And, of course, they can't know what the hell he's saying. We don't care. And
That sounds like foreshadowing of some sort.
Bum, bum, bum. Come on, get 2 points there for the obvious.
Better than negative or mispronunciation.
Oh, I've been burned again. Better put on some more chapstick.
You need some ice for that burn.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Guardians are starting to notice all the different singularities happening and also are directing the Vegas system. Well, they find out that the Spider Guild, one of the very old enemy of the Green Lantern Corps, is behind everything, and they decide to put in some old friends of the Green Lantern Corps, including Fatality. We all know he's got jollies on for Jon Stewart, wants to skewer him. And don't you make me pronounce his name. I'm not going to say it right. Balufagot.
What did I... You know what? I don't even know what you're trying to say, so I'll just keep going.
Yes, a pig-headed bounty hunter who have teamed up with the Spider Guild, and they're going to take out Kyle, Kilowog, and all the other Green Lanterns. Meanwhile, Cole and Varth have gone to save Mogo and have learned to be friends. Aw. No, really, that's it, folks. That's all they've learned. Aran and a Thanagarian have learned to be friends.
Hope
for saying is give peace a chance. So anyhow, they chase off the Citadel, and they all regroup with all the Green Lanterns against the Spider Guild. It gets revealed the Spider Guild is opening a huge singularity by the Owen Sun. It's going to pretty much just wipe the Green Lantern Corps and the Guardians of the Universe off the face of the universe. Well, all the Green Lanterns all team up. They push hard. They overcome the power of yellow, shove the sun down the Spider Guild's throat, and annihilate the Spider Guild.
How come nobody ever thought of doing this kind of thing before?
Yeah, I think I like the Spider King's reaction. They're all dead. They're gone. No one. Ah!
No,
like
wait.
Starfighter moment.
What's the next? I die a thousand times over. I die, and then dead.
Yeah. It was like the scene from the last Starfighter where basically they go, she won't want to hell. We're going into the atmosphere. What do we do, sir? All of a sudden his eye patch goes, we die.
I love the Spider Guild, old enemy of the Guardians, who are showing up for the first time on Nebula.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I find so funny. They're talked about, and then here they are. Everybody, are giant freaking humanoid spiders.
Showing up for the first time ever, old enemies of the Guardians, showing up for the first time ever, and then dying right away. Do you think there's going to be more stories with the oldest enemies of the Guardians?
Yeah, exactly.
No, they just kill them off.
Yeah, and then the Guardians say, well, with the Spider-Girl Gaul, we've removed another obstacle, so now it's time for the universe to be afraid of us. We need to refortify and work on our great plan, everything, so... And pretty much we go right into Infinite Crisis from there for what happens to the Green Lantern Corps. So I'm going to start right off here. I thought it was a really nice intro story. I really like the new characters, and the two became a huge favorite of mine. I don't know. I think I just like red women with tattoos who are doctors. Probably because I work for a hospital. I love the conflict of the character and the fact she actually has Sinestro's power ring, which I thought was really cool. Voth and Izmat, I like them both because they've got a very odd couple relationship to them, but I kind of saw them hatching up their friendship and learning to be together with, you know, why two races were at war. Kilowog just freaking rules.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Fatality, yeah, she was there. And Balufaga, if that's how you want to say his name, I'm just going to call him the pig-headed bounty hunter, which he should have been from Star Wars. He was interesting, and we'll get more about him in, shortly here with the Guy Gardner two-parter, but that's in a little bit.
They tell you to keep showing up.
Like, yeah, exactly.
She shows up to kill all the Green Lanterns, then she dies. And shows up to kill the Green Lanterns again, then she dies. Then she's Sinestro, then she dies. Then she gets recruited by Star Sapphires. And that's where we are now.
And now she wants
and
John.
We're waiting on that.
And now she wants John. Now we're waiting on the rest of that story.
I hate John! No, I love John! Damn it, I hate him and love him at the same time! God, isn't it just about hormones in the end?
So conflicted.
To my God, Sex in the City. I can see Carrie Bradshaw right now. Or is it just a woman who's just looking for the right man who happened to annihilate her planet?
Okay.
I'll stop there. I'm going to give the Green Lantern Corps Recharge B+. I love the artwork by Giesen and, you know, Jeff Johns and Gibbons and everybody. I thought did a wonderful job with the story. and I liked it, but you know, it had its flaws, and in a way it was just kind of restarting the Green Lantern Corps and leading to Infinite Crisis. So that's my grade on that. And Kuhan, so you're correcting me and marking my score there. Why don't we go to you next?
Alright, well, first things first, I'm going to say, Ryan, how's it all painting your girlfriend red? we don't want any lawsuits or anything like that happening over here. So, anyways, what I was going to say was, I thought it was a good story, good introduction, good reintroduction to the Green Lantern Corps, rather. Good introduction to these new characters who, you know, are still around, not those kind of characters, where they show up once in a GLC quarterly, and then dojo up again for 10 years. Jackie here. I like the story. It was good, solid writing. It's exactly what it was meant to do, which was bring the Green Lantern Corps to the world. And I will give it. I'll give it a B plus. Just because I'm not as pessimistic as you are.
Yeah. How about you, Ray?
Well, let me see. Green Lantern Corps Recharge. I really like the book. It was a great way to reintroduce Green Lantern mythos, like the core, to a new audience. Just to bring them back, you know, just to bring them back to the fold. It was like, you know, it was a really simple to bring them back, just because no one questioned it. It was like, hey, they've been dead for the better part of a decade. Now they're back. I love the character development. I love the new characters that they put inside. Kilowog was great. Isamon Cole, Fast Iron. Even though Saren is not there, even though, you know, Ryan dislikes Red Woman tattoos, I love them. Can't get enough of them.
I didn't say I disliked them. I said I liked them.
Oh, did you? Oh, my mistake. I thought you said you disliked them.
No, I love
women. He said he just likes Red Woman tattoos.
Oh, really? So you're,
yeah, I said how much I love their character, and I just said, well, either that or I just like, you know, Red Woman with tattoos or a doctor, so.
Which is why I told her not to paint his girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Melissa would like that.
And don't go around calling
her
a sword.
I knocked her any time, though.
Don't go around calling her a sword, Nick. She might get a little angry.
Oh, that's true. She might be jealous. Who the hell is Star Nick? But, again, I love the characters. Guy was great. And the fact that Green Lantern Retard just had Kyle in it. It was a great book overall.
But yeah, obviously you love Kyle with a name like Raynor 2814.
Well, excuse me.
Hey, come on. We're all from Sector 2814.
Don't worry, dude. I'm surrounded by all of you are Kyle fans. I mean, all of you love Kyle Raynor. I'm the one sitting here supporting Hal Jordan.
Go original Silver Age, but aside from that, still, I give the book a B minus. I loved it. I loved it. It could have been a lot better. It could have been a lot stronger, but it was perfect for an introductory piece.
Yeah, did exactly
what
it
meant
to do.
Yeah. What did you think, Wes?
I probably had to agree with Ray. It wasn't the best story in the world, but. It got its point across. I mean, coming into this, I didn't know much about Green Lantern, so this was pretty good for me. The introduction to Natu was pretty good. I love the fact that she turned the ring down.
Yeah.
Of course.
She's like, screw you, I'm a doctor, I don't need a ring.
I got medical degrees.
I don't have a medical degree to work on Core Doc.
If you have a knife, apparently you're a surgeon.
Maybe that tattoo is some form of, this tattoo means that I was a doctor.
And I got this because I was drunk one night, my college friend, and wow, that was a knife. I don't know where the hell this one came from, I blacked out a few times.
Overall, I'd probably give the story a B-, like Ray. Gleason did a pretty good job, but nothing was superb about the story. It's just a basic story. So B minus from me.
They're all goddamn pessimists.
Okay, aside from that, I love the ending.
No, the ending was great.
The ending was like one of the best parts of the entire book, aside from, you know, the dragged on part of hey, we're not supposed to go into Vegasism, Vegasism, and then ending, let's just kill Vegasism.
We'll go a little bit more into the Vegas system in a couple issues here. Also, I'm going to, before we move on to the first issue of the main series, I'm also going to say I like how the fact that they were keeping with the different Green Lanterns with their different ways they use their rings and constructs. I mean, if you've seen Voth, you know, it kind of goes more military gray. You know, Ismat kind of goes with more hands and not too, of course, anything that's medical. I like the fact that they kept the Green Lanterns having this more individual use with not only their constructs, but how they use their rings.
I agree.
Which is really introduced by Jeff Johns and Rebirth, which was, you know, a great plot line. You know,
exactly.
How the symbol comes out like a siren, which was all Vance Skyver, which is that maybe even new. I mean, it's genius stuff that, you know, it should have been there before, because, you know, it's the cops.
It made the most sense, and it was just like, I mean, everything that's been going on that both Ethan and Jeff and, you know, Gibbons and all that, it's just like, for the love of God, why didn't we think of this 25 years ago? Because it makes complete sense. It doesn't feel like it's out of left field.
And that's the great thing about it, too, is like these small little nuances just feel like they've been there for, like from the beginning of the core. It's easy to fall into knowing that these badges like light up by sirens, that they're bright.
Exactly. All right. Well, moving on. After all, Recharge, of course, was Infinite Crisis and the Battle of Superboy Prime. We move to 1 year later, everybody. Dun dun dun. Well, we move to the first story arc, which is To Be a Lantern, or as it's also been referred to, Curse of Green. We're back in Sector 1417 because it just freaking rolls. You know, screw 2814, where we're all from, but. Natu, now full-fledged Green Lantern for a year, is moving with her Green Lantern sector partner, Mert, and they head over to the planet Babosus. I can't pronounce it because I've been trying to for hours. I really have.
I think it's
fractionated. It's really hard. Jeff, if you're out there hearing us, and Dave, if you're out there hearing us, please send us a pronunciation syllable key.
Like Dan DiDio knows how to pronounce this stuff. Please, people are agreeing with us. Jeff, what's this? What's this?
Like I said, more stuff we'll be talking about in the Final Crisis. How Dan DiDio learns how to talk, and how I always rip his name until I talk to him in person. So, you know.
DiDio.
You know, it's funny, because I've talked to him in person, and I've never screwed up his name, but I ever talk about him, I always screw up his name. Figure that out.
Yeah.
Why can't we all have names like Greg Rocka? Damn it!
That way we can just call him motherfucker.
Hold on.
You know what? I didn't think of that. I heard it on Around Comics from the man himself, okay?
I guess that makes it okay, then.
It does.
Yeah, we'll say that for our conversation on Bruce Jones later, too. Anyhow, they head to the planet, and the planet's kind of been having a little bit of civil strife lately between the royal kingdom and the people itself. Basically, it's an interpretation of the Mideast, believe it or not. I mean, that's actually what they were going for. But pretty much, Natu and Mert arrive, and they get into a battle, and they're trying to help the princes, including Ragnar. I said that one right. And what happens is one of the cannons gets to his brother. It's made out of yellow, and Natu's ring does not affect it, and all of a sudden, the prince is killed. And Natu is pretty much shaken to her core because she believes her ring is cursed, and that she has fallen back into fear. While that's all unfolding, they're cleaning up the mess. Guy Gardner is arguing the seat of the Guardians because he wants his shore leave. He spent it a year ever since recharging, wants his damn shore leave. While good old Arth and Ismat are trying to, once again, figure things out between the war between Ran and Thanagar, because it's now been going on 3 years and still fighting each other. And guess what? Mogo's going to have an approaching fleet of the Citadel again, because for some reason the Citadel likes to attack a giant planet. And Voth decides to head over to Mogo to try to figure out his differences, why he's got so much anger in him, since it's many other Green Lanterns too. And meanwhile, Elande, who is the princess of the planet, is trying to talk with Mert about what has been going on with the Civil War and strange things that have been happening. Why Natu is talking with Guy Gardner, that pretty much suck it up and get her hot body back to the planet and fix it, But by the time they get there, Mert's been killed. And he's been killed thanks to yellow weapons.
It makes sense that they'd be attacking Mogo, seeing as, I don't know, he directs all the Green Lantern Wings and they're evil.
I know, it just seems the Cinnamon Dough had nothing better to do but to attack Mogo.
Well, you know, seeing as they're evil and they don't like Green Lanterns, I think they would want to stop the recruit of the new Green Lantern.
You bring up actually a great point. The problem is they every time they do that, Green Lantern shoot them and they go back to the Vegas system. Wash, rinse, repeat.
Either that, or you just think he's just a giant bullseye.
Well, you know, the same thing happened with the Power Rangers, dude. The same thing happened with the Power Rangers. Lord Zedd and Rita kept fighting. Come on, bro.
Power Rangers reference.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, man. I was 15, man. Oh, Amy Jo Johnson. She's a hot sniper over on CBS.
Dude, when I was four. I watched that show when I was four.
Tyrannosaurus!
I'm pretty sure I humped the couch once before.
Mastodon!
yes, folks, we watch Power Rangers. Yeah, I know. My vocabulary problems don't seem so bad now.
I was about to say, why do you leave me being a Blue Ranger? But then I'm like, hell yeah, wait a second. Hold on.
No,
white
actually,
tiger
bitch
is what? What? I just got white. I just got the White Ranger. Beat that.
Okay. And we all go silent.
Yeah. That was awkward.
Anyhow, back to the issue.
Green Lantern.
Natu tries to perform an autopsy on Mert, find out how he died. Guy, of course, uncovers the Prince Ragnar has a very deep Green Lantern fetish, as in he has collections and pieces, and he's been hoping to be a grand Green Lantern forever. Meanwhile, Natu finds out those strange neurotoxins what cause Mert to feel fear and get killed. He tracks it down to a local peddler, and herself gets its attack. And by the time everybody gets in time, hence Guy Gardner, apparently Natu's been murdered. And a ring then comes from Ragnar, and he is recruited and taken to Oa. Where he gets there, he finds out, oh, whoop, Natu is alive, and we found out Ragnar has been behind all the civil strife, all to be because he wants to be a Green Lantern. And she kicks his ass. Yes, folks, doctors kick ass. With tattoos. And basically what happens is, yeah, they can't do anything about it because he is needed back on his planet to be tried. But basically, those who commit acts against the royal family and his people are executed. And just before Ragnar is executed, Natu decides to give the Mert's power ring to his sister, Aland, and she's the new Green Lantern of 1417, and then Ragnar is beheaded and killed.
Okay, you pronounced her name differently twice. First it was Yolandi, then it was Ilan. At least be consistent with this pronunciation, bro.
Man, I'm so glad we get the Agent Orange, because I'm going to screw that all up. We know it's messed up. Damn you, Vega!
At least you can pronounce Agent Orange correctly.
Who knows? We'll wait till we get there.
I'm going to say this right now, despite my bad grammar and syllabus. I know, I'm going to beat myself
Dude,
later.
Wait! Do you even know what a syllabus is?
Anyhow. I was a theater major and business major. I didn't need to learn to spell. Look at Brian Michael Bendis. Man can't spell and write stories.
Oh, Brian Michael Bendis.
That's why God invented spell check.
You know, people say Brian Michael Bendis is wordy. I'm reading a Tale of Two Cities in class. Jesus Christ.
Good luck on that, Juan. I have very fond memories of that.
So do I.
So we are.
Remember, everybody, 1,000 monkeys and 1,000 typewriters can write Shakespeare.
Or Jeff Johns on 8. Bring it back to last week.
I'm just going to say with this story, it had them too. I really enjoyed it. And the problem was I kind of saw the ending coming from issue 1. I mean, it was too obvious. I'm sorry. Nothing against them. I love Guy, of course, arguing with, you know, wanting to see the Guardians. And anybody that argues with a giant piece of calamari is okay in my book. But I like how they pulled one over on Ragnar and everything. And I thought him getting defeated at the end, both spiritually and physically, I thought that was a very sad end to him, especially to his family, because the look on his father's face when he's executed was just very heartbreaking. But I'm going to go out and give the story a B-. It was a nice launch story issue after Recharge. You know, it focused nicely on what's been going on with the Green Lantern since year one. But it was like they were picking up story threads from Recharge, and apparently a year didn't pass. So that's all I'm going to say on that. And Wes, what did you think?
I wouldn't be that into it. I didn't like anything about it, really. It just, it felt more of a letdown coming off of Recharge.
Wes, you have to take everything.
I love Final Crisis.
Okay, so you hate everything that everybody else loves, and you love everything that everybody else hates.
I am unique.
You can at least say that.
Unique New York.
It just wasn't the greatest story in the world. And, I mean, I don't think it tried to be. It just didn't really impress me. Guy was essentially the best part, but he couldn't really say this.
Well, Guy's the best part of everything, so.
Oh, exactly.
Just the guy into everything.
Exactly.
Guy makes everything better.
That's the guy that's on the Justice League.
What's that? Oh, God. Sore.
Oh.
You know what? No, let's just have Guy write the Justice League. See how that works.
Guy, why am I doing monitoring, Gary? Hey, you're the goddamn Batman. You tell me.
We all know that Guy Gardner would put Batman on monitor duty every single day.
Just hoard it over him.
They're like, yeah what now?
He always sends fire in Antarctica, and you know, ice is always up in the private quarters with them. We're all good.
The washout would become the new Guy Bar.
Warriors in space.
Yeah, just Guy Gardner, Guy Bar in space. Oh, yeah, featuring Justice League.
Written by J.M. Diamantis.
J.M. Diamantis.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you did. Points.
All right, negative one.
Yeah.
All right, right.
You're all the way up to the negative one. Congratulations.
All right, I'm not ready for Jeopardy now. Anyhow, Ray, Ray, what did you think?
I disagree with Wes. I really didn't like the issue just because the point wasn't that that Ragnar was the villain. The entire point of the story was the fact that it was the curse of green. That this is what happens to a Green Lantern when they're faced with the consequence of someone who's too obsessed with wanting to wield this great ring of power. I took aside the fact that Ragnar was the villain, even though like you said, Ryan, you can pretty much figure it out in the very first issue. But I liked it for the fact that it was like a cop drama to get from point A to point B of where we're going with this whole fact of how far would someone go to become a Green Lantern? How far would they stoop to become this huge self-appointed galactic hero in the universe? So I liked it for that.
How would you stoop, Rainer?
How far would I stoop?
How far would you stoop to become a Green Lantern?
Wouldn't know. I haven't been chosen. But apparently, people would stoop very, very low. Very, very low at the kill, randomly across the universe. I would probably stoop to the point of going like, hey, look over there, ring, snatch, run.
That's kind of Orange Lantern to me, bro.
Avarice,
hey, look, Grav!
Avarice Green. Wouldn't that be Hugh?
Hugh.
Hugh's actually a face light color, so that's why I call it Hugh. So he'd be a Hugh color. He no words. Can't say him.
Yes.
Ryan knows how to speak. Ryan's no good.
I know words, I just can't pronounce them for my life.
I think that was bad. You should have heard my English teacher sophomore year. That girl, that woman knew noodling, but every time she tried spelling stuff, she had to erase it and respell it. Look at her book. And she was an English teacher.
English teacher. Wow. Yeah, I could probably blame her.
But, again, getting but, back to, I give the story.
Yeah, back to your final thoughts, Ray.
B+.
All right. And, Kuhan, how about you?
Okay. It's been a long time since I read this story. But, it's funny because when you refresh my memory, Dark Side of Green made so much more sense.
Yeah.
So basically, this is a good story, set up in resolution.
It's back. Set up and resolution.
It's back. Set up and resolution. It was set up for the rest of the title and resolution of recharge. So, but yeah, and it was a good story. Brought back favorite character of four member Orion Pax in the Princess. I'm not gonna try. I'm gonna go with Island, because that's what it feels like to me.
Yolanda.
It rolls off the tongue like honey.
Yolanda.
Yolanda.
Arriba, arriba.
What was called Princess I.
It's the princess. That's like a rapper name.
Yeah, Dave Gibbon, if you can hear us, please send us like the correct spelling and pronunciation, please.
I just put up a link. Let's just send all, the pronunciations just to that link.
Yeah, if J.K. Rowling can do it for Harry Potter, I think the Green Lantern Corps writer can.
Yeah, see, I heard Hermione wrong for years. Until the movie. Anywho!
yes, go on.
Yeah, until the movie, I pronounced like Hermione. anyways, I thought it was a decent story, not the best. Definitely a good, it was definitely a good first story, set up to the rest of the book. The thing is, Green Lantern Corps is a lot different from Green Lantern, because, the book is basically about 7,200 different aliens. And, that gets a little convoluted. But, it was definitely a good book. Now, seeing as Geoff Johns was basically writing the entire DC, I don't see how they couldn't have gotten him to write this as well. But, you know what? I'm not complaining. It wasn't that bad. Overall, I guess I give the story a solid B.
Alright. We'll give it a B for, B. It was a nice little intro. It was not, the issue sold out and did pretty well high sales, so it's not like it was a failure or anything. But, anyhow, we'll move on to the next storyline, which is all about Guy. We added to Relentless, which is technically a two-part story, which is both written and drawn by Dave Gibbons, but it also leads into Ranks of the Sentient City storyline in the next issue. But Guy finally gets his Shorley, and he goes to Restoria. Isn't that convenient? Anyhow, so he goes out there, puts on the shades and the horse, hooks up with some nice hot tiger women, and starts deciding to have a drink and everything and relaxing. Meanwhile, Natu decides to head over to Mogo for some rest and relaxation, and basically ends up seeing all the patients that she saved over the years, and them all telling her, hey, if it wasn't for you, at least you saw me. Hey, you tried. Apparently these people all died, so, as they say on Grey's Anatomy, they never prepare you for how many patients you lose compared to how many you save. Meanwhile, Vath is over Thanagar and everything, and the Citadel's back, heading towards Mogo again, and he can't find his mod, and he's looking and looking. He finally finds him on Thanagar, and apparently he's just looking for a good booty call because it's mating season over there. Well, anyhow, well, Guy's enjoying his own trying to score on Restoria, and our favorite pighead bounty hunter from Green Lantern Recharge finds Guy and decides to come find him. Well, Guy's gonna use his ring. Oh, wait, he left it in the hotel safe. So now he's running from the Big B, using nets, lawn chairs, and safes to get his ring back. And he finds out his ring's been stolen by a two-headed guy. So he goes looking for his ring. Meanwhile, Voth is kind of still fighting the Citadel and doing it all by himself. And basically, Ismat, he loses his chance to score and decides to go help his partner. Aww. But the two, in the meantime, decides to head back to our planet. Basically, screw you guys. I'm going home and I'm going to be a doctor, whether you like it or not. Exactly. But anyhow, Guy finally catches up with the two-headed thief and gets his ring back. And, just before he's ready to kick ass, Salak, our wonderful, host for the Green Lantern, for the Guardians of the Universe, comes in, kicks his ass, steals his women, and tells Guy, we got a mission, so bye. And that's pretty much the issue. And then we lead right into Guy teaming up with a Green Lantern by the name of, his name is actually five letters wrong, so Guy, being the cool man, they just calls him Thus. good old Thus. And they run into Ranks the Sentient City, which, you know, if anybody remembers the great Alan Moore storyline, it was the sentient city that was supposed to be destined to help destroy Mogo for the Blackest Night. Well, they're looking for a person that's been kidnapped by the Children of the White Lobe, they're called. Well, they pretty much try finding it, and Ranks hates Green Lanterns. So he starts slinging mud and dirt men at him, throwing sewer water at him and everything, and Guy and Thus pretty much just create giant vacuum cleaners and get rid of all his guardians. And they eventually start performing a little brain surgery to get him to find out where the person that's been kidnapped. And they find out the Children of the White Lobe, those who create link bombs, are behind it. And pretty much they explode and leave the woman there for them to return, and they run away and cry like little girls. And that's pretty much the story. I'm going to go right with Wes with this one.
Besides the exploding children, I didn't like it.
That's horrible!
Sorry!
What are you, Rainer? You people are killing children here! Like, oh yeah, I want dead children hanging off a crib. Oh hey, look, exploding kids, I love that!
I mean, it may put such nice artwork by Gleason, so why not? I liked it. Story-wise, like I said, it's another decent but not terrific issue, and I mean, aside from the exploding children, I didn't get much out of it. But, I mean, I guess it's nice to see Nataru some more. I'd give it a C+. E plus at best.
And Kuhan, what about you?
Here's the deal. I like did not remember the story at all until you started describing it. I'm like, oh my god, I remember this. And don't think I didn't catch you didn't want to pronounce his name, so I decided to call him the Big B.
Yeah, I did call him the Big B.
So anywho, yeah, it was definitely a solid story, I guess. I hear myself in the
computer. Oh, Guhan's in stereo now.
Oh, echo! Echo!
Everybody's
in stereo now. Yeah, man, Skynet's taking over.
Ah, jeez.
Okay. So, anyway, and it was definitely a decent story. It wasn't the best. It's really been a long time since I read it, so I don't think I can give it a fair review. But, you know, it was a guy story, and guy stories are good. Let's move on.
Yeah,
what's your grade for it?
I just said I can't really fairly review it, because it's been so long since I read it.
Alright, so Kuhan will abstain from this review. Ray, what about you?
I just remember this story like not too long ago, but I remember enough of it. All I can say that pretty much it was just to me like what would Guy Gardner do next? What would be his wacky next adventure? like Restoria, three girls.
Give me a Guy Gardner book now.
Well, we're like, looking at you.
It's it was funny. I have to say that I like the first part with I'll try to pronounce his name. I think it's like Ballfanger.
Something
I think
that.
It's like Ballfanger the Unrelenting.
That's why the storyline was called Relentless. So.
Yeah. I remember from like I remember that character from the like Alan Moore book even before it was like the Recharge book. But yeah. It was funny. I liked it. Even when Salak showed up at the end and just took all the girls for himself.
Yeah, dude, the only moment of solid badassery ever.
Yeah, it's just like, comes in, I got four arms, and you're in you.
You'll never see anything that awesome of Salak ever again.
Yeah, Salak will never get that emotional ever.
if at all. But, yeah, I like that. And then the next story with the next crazy wild adventure of Guy Gardner in space was, the whole with how you pronounce it again? What was it? Ranks the Living Planet?
Living
Planet is Ego.
Yeah, there you go. Ego.
Yeah, Ego.
But giant ego. Anyway, yeah.
Insert your own joke here, folks.
Or as I had it in an album comic, Mogo.
Oh! Oh, where's Carl Kiso when we need him?
When they combine Ego and Mogo, so they made it Mogo the Living Planet.
Wasn't it Oa the Living,
Was it?
The Living World or something?
I've
read it about 12 years. I can't tell you.
You might be right.
No, Uta the Watcher. Or the Guardian.
Yeah.
Yeah, Uta the Guardian.
Anyway, back to the story.
Even though it should have been Can't Fit the Watcher, but, you know, let's just keep going.
Hey, the Watcher had hair, finally. That's all I'm going to say. Rogaine for space. Anyhow, yes, Raven. Back to the story.
Thanks, Rogaine.
Yeah, the story, you know, for the Guy Gardner versus Ranks and Thus. Thus. How do you pronounce his name?
Yeah, he pretty much just says, he says his name is something T-H-T-H-T-H. He's like, so thus it is. Yeah, something. A lot of T's.
Who they killed in Sinestro Corps, which, like,
Wait, we didn't even get there yet.
Yeah,
we're getting there.
We got there.
Hold on, don't jump ahead there, come on.
It's not the last episode. You know what? Everybody knows.
I know.
We can dream that they don't, you know. So,
okay. That way they'll come back for more.
Exactly.
Spoilers! Darth Vader is Luke's father!
No!
That's not true!
That's impossible!
That's impossible!
Something, Blackest Night!
And you bring it right back to the Family Guy.
And that's true.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah, and yeah, Ray, what's your closing arguments on that?
Closing arguments, I liked it. Exploding children aside, like Wes says, it was a good read to me. And whatever Guhan says, I do not partake in liking dead children.
Excuse me, you want a dead kids off of coming off of crib.
All right, I'm opening up the champagne. It's Corbell too.
Nice. Aside from that, I give us a solid B. Solid B.
Well, I'm kind of in the same park as all three of you. It's Guy. I never can go wrong with Guy. It was Guy on Vacation, and you know I read this story before. It was called Star Trek Enterprise, when the Enterprise first went to Risa in the 22nd century. So our favorite pig and a bounty hunter. You know, it's kind of fun chasing. And everything, and you know, I kind of knew that you know, as good old Iz was gonna you know choose his partner and find the Citadel over getting a booty call, which, and the man, he's a braver man than I am.
Well,
he's a lizard.
It's because his girlfriend dumped him.
Yeah, went and got in another bed. It was very soap opera. But,
and cheated it on him.
She couldn't wait.
They got on Jerry. Jerry. Yeah, so, Jerry.
Sounds like my ex-wife.
Did not know.
Anywho. I liked Ranks. I liked the fact they were picking up a little bit more. And, you know, as Guhan would say, set up in resolution. And, you know, Citadel once again going back to the Vegas system. Set up in resolution. What the hell's going on in the Vegas system? My God, got all these people there. Anyhow, we'll get to that later.
I wonder what's going on in the Vegas system pretty soon that's relating to the Agent Orange story arc and Orange Legends, etc., etc.
Dun, dun,
dun!
Foreshadow!
But, I think my favorite part, of course, was when Guy and Thus using giant vacuum cleaner to get rid of all the Ranks' guardians there. That was fun. It shows that Uber's got nothing on him. So, I liked it. Exploding Children aside, which actually I did think was cool too. Sorry, Guhan, you're gonna have to arrest me also. I like the story. I'll give it a B minus if anything. Just having Guy pretty much being the focus all over here and Gibbons doing the artwork. I just enjoyed that. It was really nice and crisp. And Salak getting some in the end. Hey, even four armed aliens need something for old Picklehead. So.
Well, yeah. Didn't you read when Salak became Paul Manning? got some of Hal Jordan's
pitch. Oh, man. Oh, God, Guhan, you kill me here, man. You literally kill me. That's why I work for a hospital. And I like comic women with red and tattoos that are doctors. Anyhow.
Hold on, wait. Hold on, I got it. Hold on. Sell it, stock, block, Guy Gardner.
Oh!
There it is.
Explicit material may be in this podcast, everybody, if you didn't realize. Oh,
we got the explicit banner on iTunes. It's good enough.
Well, fuck yeah!
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's on now.
We went there. We went there.
I've already said it fucking twice.
We're like the grassy. We go there. I think I'm killed, West.
Oh, West, are you okay?
I think we lost West.
He's gone!
I think we killed him. West, are you there?
My God.
West!
Okay.
I'm sorry,
West. Hanging on to hope.
Half this podcast is going to be us just laughing, okay? So...
We'll be in the Spider-Man Crawl Space Part 2 before you know it. Okay, now that Wes is slowly recovering and is on a low potassium diet, we'll move on to a favorite storyline. I think I know Kuhano will remember this. We all love it. Is the corpse. The corpse, everybody.
Corpse.
Once again, Guy Gardner.
You can't go wrong with Guy Gardner.
This book is a Guy Gardner book. See, because Kyle Rayner became an Ion. So they didn't have Kyle Rayner to put in this book, so they made a Guy Gardner book. That's how it works.
Right. Don't remind me about the Ion miniseries.
You know, it would have been good if it wasn't for Sinestro Corps totally stepping on his toes. I think it was.
Yeah, I have to agree there.
I think it was supposed to be an ongoing book, and then Jump Jones was like, "Hey, I have a better idea."
Yeah.
Why don't we move things here? Move things here and kill Kyle's mom.
They're like, "Hey, I have a better idea. Of Ion."
Oh.
You know how I made up Parallax giant space bug? Well, let's make Ion a giant space whale, and let's
whale friendly, right? Whale friendly.
Let's take it out of Kyle and let's put the bug in it. So now Kyle is Parallax. This is the greatest story ever.
I'm amazing.
Oh yeah!
I can't wait to see the Red Lantern, the red light thing. It's probably gonna be a giant Oculus or something.
No, I was gonna make a joke that people would eat this up. Then I realized we did.
Oh,
we totally ate that up.
Oh yeah, we threw our money down for that one.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Oh man. Well, anyhow. Oh yeah, go on, Rick.
No, I was gonna say to you, Ryan, the whole the red lantern symbol or the red lantern giant space bug. I think it's just gonna be some giant angry dude in a bar.
he's gonna be like, "Hey, you didn't pay your tab last millennium. Where the hell have you been?"
It's gonna be one of two things. It's gonna be either a giant bartender, a giant beer, or a giant angry Japanese man.
Who wants sushi?
No. No, you cannot do this.
We're Ion. No, we believe in saved whale, folks. We just don't believe in save the giant space whale.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. Well, anyhow, that actually leads us back to the corpse. don't bear with me, folks.
We've got a Kyle party at the core too.
Well, our favorite guy from the old days of Justice League International, good old Keith C. comes in with Patrick Gleason. And pretty much what happens is those Dominators, you know, they smell like tar, thanks to Wanted Hal Jordan. But one of them says, "Hey, we're not evolved enough. We can be better. I have a meteor here that we used that was used on Hector Hammond. I'm going to use it on myself and this other guy. Oh, wow, we're powerful. We're going to screw you over." But basically what happens is that happens, and the Guardians basically like, "Ooh, this is a delicate mission. We can't get directly involved. So we need to reactivate the Black Ops part of the Green Lantern Corps, which pretty much no one knows about." So Guy, is sent with our new one, Green Lantern Hole, who's like this butterfly, and butterfly women are also hot. And basically they're sent to a planet, and they meet Von Daigle, who's of course like Chameleon Boy. He can shapeshift if he's a Durlan.
They've been it around for like 30 years, bro.
Actually, 40.
40.
Oh. Kuhan was corrected.
Oh!
Hold on.
I'm now on zero. I'm moving up. I'm in positive.
I was corrected on comic history, not on grammar.
okay?
Still a point for Ryan.
Yeah. We'll call him James Vaughn here. Good old Vaughn. He shows that basically, you know, after kicking both their asses and getting the message that the corpse, which is this black ops part of the Green Lantern, which swallowed a cool little capsule, they're covering this black suit, would basically replace their power ring for, I'd look at the issue. Let me see, how was the power? I forgot what the power is. I'll get
5 days, I think.
Yeah,
I think that was it, too. Yeah, right here, two handles. Yeah, right there, yeah. So anyhow.
There's some jelly music in there.
Yeah. So anywho, so they go after the Dominators, the Evolved Dominator, who's pretty much just cutting a swash of things all over the place. And basically, they get their asses handed to them by the power and everything. But Vaughn decides to outsmart them and pretend to be Darkseid and scare the Dominator for a little while. Just enough for them for a Hole to evolve into her energy butterfly form and pretty much defeat the Dominators, crush them, and everything else. And the meteor's kind of lost in the hall.
Like, wait. If you're Darkseid, why was there no boom tube to signal your arrival? Like,
exactly.
Damn, you got me.
Yeah, that was a great moment. That was just great when he said that. I was just getting to that issue, but yeah. I always save my quotes for later. But pretty much as it all happens as they save the day, but Hole is corpse material and Guy isn't. Hey, F you there, Vaughn. Anyhow, so basically Guy gets his memories erased and sent home packing, but it's revealed at the end that another Dominator has discovered the meteor, so the experiments will continue.
It was set up for the soon coming Green Lantern Corps miniseries that never happened.
Boo!
Rest in
peace. I was pissed about that. Actually, I'm going to say that right now because I'm going to do the review. But this storyline was complete kick-ass. It was a great story. It really did once. It did such a great setup and, you know, didn't get the resolution. And then they canceled the damn mini. I mean, I told my comic retail guy, you know, guys, sign me up. I want the corpse. Damn it, I want the corpse. And it never happened. And then Keith came online and said, yeah, it's dead. Sorry, folks. I tried. And this was a good story. I like the Black Ops Green Lantern. The Dominators, well, they finally did something different besides smile big and have red bullseyes on their heads. So I'm going to give this an A-, because it was a really good story, and Guy is the center, and I really liked Hole. I thought she was a cool Green Lantern, and it was very heartbreaking in the end, because, you know, her and Guy really fell in love with each other, and then she pretty much had to take away his memories for the sake of duty. So I'll give it an A-. Ray, what about you?
I like the book. I liked the whole of the corpse, the Black Ops division. It was cool. I really liked it. It was kick-ass. But it was just weird just to come up with a complete Black Ops corpse also. Even though I liked him, it was just weird that this show up out of nowhere. Von Dagger was a cool character. He was cool. I liked the fact that they brought up this entire history that he has, you know, this score to settle with Hal Jordan. That he had this whole, animosity towards him. It was great. I like the setup. It was a great setup. It was the Dominators being brought into the fold using that whole, you know, conveniently placed plot device of a meteor right from Mysteries in Space for Captain Comet.
Yeah,
that guy.
Oh yeah, that's a great example.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I even liked the Hall. She was I think her name was like. How do you pronounce her first name? It's like Rami?
Yeah, I wrote it down. I think it was, I called her Amy, is what I did with the apology, so I called her Amy Hole.
You just call everybody whatever Guy calls it, don't you? He's like, you know what, Guy? So this is a lot easier. Let's just use that.
Yeah.
Alright, so, sweet-looking butterfly girl, I guess. She was great. I even liked the whole cocoon stage. It was a good, again, great setup, even the whole part that we all liked about Darkseid. you know, it was great, I just felt they needed more at the end of it, the end of it. So I give it a B, a solid B.
And how about you, Kuhan?
So who wants to help me kidnap Danny Dio? Because maybe then this series will happen. You know,
I think my car would officially break down if I put Dan in my back seat. I think the car itself would be like, Get him out of here. I'm not going anywhere.
We've got to find someone to hold him hostage for the ransom. Okay, I can't do justice to give the story a rating. So go out and pick it up yourself. And I'm going to go ahead and give him an A+. And so let's just move on. Because I can't say anything about this, about how amazing it is, that would give justice to how amazing the story was. Read it yourself. Go pick it up. It doesn't cost that much. Screw the economy. Fix the economy.
Yeah. Pump money into the economy. We must stimulate it.
That's how we
buy more of this book.
Buy it now.
Buy the corpse and then say,
you
damn it, I want the sequel.
Economy.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they did the same thing they did with the Family Guy where they canceled the show, but then there were so many DVD sales they brought it back. Buy the book. Maybe there'll be so many sales they'll bring back the idea of the corpse mini. Anybody? Come on. Yeah?
What do you think?
I don't think I have the phrase that Kuhan has, but I loved it. Well, like, I'll say like.
You loved it! You loved it!
I love the concept. I love the Black Ops concept. Not so much the history, you know. We don't know much, but
we don't know anything.
We don't. That's how it's supposed to be. You know nothing about the
Black
Ops.
It's the Black Ops. Black Ops. You don't know
there
anything
is no
about
corpse.
Black Ops. There is no corpse. There is no
corpse. Hot butterfly women.
No corpse. There is no corpse. No corpse.
Regardless. I liked it, the concept-wise. As the rest of you, I'm sad to see it not come to fruition, or fruition, whatever the word is.
Fruition.
What he said.
Oh, man, Ray just corrected Wes. Oh, man, I'm sorry, Wes. I'm infectious.
Fruition. I guess I am. It was Ray who corrected him, not me.
Anyhow, Wes.
Yes, let's talk about
I'll give it an A minus. A minus would do. It wasn't the most amazing art, but story-wise, it's definitely up there with an A, so I'll give it an A-.
All right, do you hear that, DM? Do you hear that, DC? We love the corpse. Call Keith C. now. Get Dick Gibbons. Hell, screw that. Get Ethan, and let's have the corpse, please. Oh, for the love of God.
Throw some moose into there,
Oh, man. That,
yes,
that'd be
DC, hire Moose Bowman back.
Stupid. Oh, man. I'd pay $4.99 for that book.
Hey, you know what? If you would pay $4.99 for that book, they will charge $4.99 for that book. Stop talking
okay,
right now.
We'll go with the Superman Beyond price and go $4.50. All right. Since next story arc is the Green Lantern Corps involvement in the Sinestro War, we kind of covered that hugely. I'm just going to go over the highlights of that. Sinestro and Natu meet each other, and there's a big-ass fight, and Sinestro pretty much, he doesn't really kill her. He kind of basically says, well, Natu, I want to make sure the right person was in charge of my home world. Congratulations. And he leaves. And everybody's crazy not to. Mogo is infected with some sort of fungi, Sinestro Corps member who's infected Kilowog, and he's out murdering Green Lanterns, which I find interesting, but, he can beat them with his bare hands. He doesn't need his ring. Guy pretty much loses his temper, and Shore leaves restrained again. Why do you hate Guy? Anyhow, we meet Mogo's sector partner, which is Biz, our favorite gatfly. Biz rules.
Buzz. I just read him.
Biz. Oh, there you go. Green and pretty much Voth and all these other Green Lanterns, Green Man, are all stuck on Mogo trying to fix the problem, and then Mogo decides to annihilate the Sinestro Corps member by crashing inside, having an asteroid collide with him. And he starts growing back. Mogo rules. But Kilowog's cure, and they are soon attacked by Rax is back, and he's a Sinestro Corps member. Boy, who saw that coming?
Dun, dun, dun.
And Kilowog meets Arkillo.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sodom Yacht appears. And there's a big fight, and the Green Lanterns are allowed to kill. And Yacht pretty much says, "Hey, this is your brain. This is your brain on a Green Lantern ring. Any questions?"
Yeah.
And Kilowog drops a battleship on Arkillo, and then rips off his finger. I love it.
You know, Son of Yacht was as good as a Green Lantern, and then they went and screwed that up by making him Ion.
And then he fought Superboy Prime, and we saw how well that went.
Yeah.
And, well, anyhow, the Sinestro Corps is defeated, and Yatsa, of course, I almost said Yak.
Yakety Yak.
I'm not channeling anything. Don't talk back. Anyhow. and pretty much, the war is over, but Sinestro's won the war. And we're going to just go from there with Guy and Kyle pretty much rebuilding New York and moving into Oa. And Guy's going to reopen Warriors on Oa.
Yeah, it's going to work out really well.
Warriors bar, Guy speaking. Is Kadem there? Kadem boo? Kadem, I had a corpse.
Aren't the Green Lanterns like, you know, space cop? Can't they not, you know, be drunk on the job? I don't think this bar is gonna work out very well, especially since it's a 24/7 job.
Right. see, it's not listed on the 10-year rules of the boa, so drink and go.
that's the fourth year rule. You can't get drunk on the job.
See, until they put that there, hey.
It's all fair game.
Right. But God, and of course, what's even better is Ice returns. Yay, Ice! Yay! Hot blue women. Damn, Green Lantern Corps just has a lot of hot women, and we love them. They're all different colors. Damn it, because we're a melting pot universe.
We've got the clear butterfly, we've got the red tattooed, and then we've got Ice.
And we got lizard women.
Yeah, lizard women. of course.
Yeah. We have Princess Eye, who's another wonderful a pink girl with blue eyeshadow we love. Anyhow, hot princesses, folks. Princess Diaries in space. Where's Anne Hathaway? We need her.
Anne Hathaway's Princess Island in the movie. That's right.
Oh, dude, that'd be perfect.
No, it wouldn't, but still.
And, of course, the Green Lantern Corps also during this time is also trying to snatch up all the Sinestro Corps rings. They're trying to find new users and everything. And one Sinestro Corps member escapes, crash lands on a planet. It's in Sector 2811, and who is there but Mongol?
Dun, dun, dun!
And he celebrates his rescue by squeezing his head and taking his ring and then spending 29 hours learning what all the ring can do and then takes off to go spread fear through the universe as the new Sinestro Corps member. And we'll get to Mongo's story next, but all this stuff happening, it had just freaking great moments. I mentioned a lot of them. Like I said, you know, Rank's brain, this is what a Green Lantern ring does to it. Any questions? That was my favorite moment. But they made him Ion, and I saw it coming, but I really didn't like it. And the fact, even worse, that Superboy Prime pretty much kicked his ass and shoved the lead bar through his, you know, his thing and pretty much turned him to Mon-El for the Green Lantern Corps. That was a disappointment. I loved everything that was going on with all the various Green Lanterns, and especially when they got the ability to kill. Boy, Kilowog's moment when he realizes that they can kill now, that was like a shot. That was a heartbreaking moment because you just feel that basically the Corps, as he knew it, was gone. Voth pretty much is like, I can finally make weapons that kill, I rule. So he goes all Bruce Willis on the Sinestro Corps.
And is a mind.
And Salak also uses the ring to kill and kills the Children of the White Globe, and boy, was that cold.
The only thing, that was pretty badass.
It was badass.
Exploding baby again. I'm sure you like all of that scene.
And, and we found out that
people are exploding babies.
And Biz is probably one of the coolest Green Lanterns introduced in a while, and I thought it was a cool counter to Mogo. And we found out Mogo's ring is in his core, which means that's a pretty damn big ring to be in his core. I mean, wow. We all gave Sinestro Corps solid A. I'm going to go with the tie-ins with an A- because I liked a lot of things. There were some disappointments, but damn, if it wasn't cool storylines and we saw a character do some badass moments, and that's my it on that, so A-. What do you think, Yvonne? What are your exploding babies?
I'm gonna give it an A again. I've got this question. We're gonna talk about the Blue Beetle issue?
Yes, we're gonna do that next.
Aha.
I wasn't gonna forget that. We're also gonna talk about the guy two-part mini in that, too.
What now?
You know the Guy Gardner two-part mini that happened?
I missed that.
Uh-oh, I think we'll be skipping it. Anyhow, but yeah, we'll talk about Bluey. But back to the SNES record, you gave it an A, and...
And who's next? Oh, what? Yeah, yeah.
The exploding babies are right in his brain.
Boom. It was
That's what I call a blink bomb.
Solid story. We talked about it plenty last time. I think I had a joke, but I forgot it. You know, Sodom Yat was a good Green Lantern and not a good Ion. And he was... Actually, I liked him in the Legion of Three Worlds. That was good, too. But we'll talk about that next week. So,
yes, we will.
Let's go to the next person.
And West.
Hey.
As his like ironing board falls over. Yes. Sorry.
I'll close the fresh. I like it. It was really good. I love the part where Yatgus just destroyed everything around him. That was A+ for me. Like you said, Kilowog scene, getting the message that they can kill was tough for him. I loved it. But it was a really good story. A lot happened in this, and I loved every bit of it, especially the exploding baby.
You people are evil. Evil.
And going to exploding babies for Ray.
Okay.
Evil.
I'm gonna say it is right now. Screw Baby Gap. Just because of the White Loaf children. They deserve their fate.
Evil.
Aside from that, I really love the Sinestro Corps book. I give that entire book an A. Give it an A. A solid A. I really like the fight, the fact when Gat became Maya, even though everybody knew it was coming. Everybody knew it was coming. But the fact that when he fought Superboy Prime and was defeated, that was the best part for me. I'm sorry. He gained ultimate whale power.
Right, oh yeah, I love it. He's like the ultimate power in the universe. He has like Kryptonian powers, you know, Daxamite powers. He's got a giant, you know, a space whale Green Lantern in him, and he gets owned by Superboy Prime.
Exactly. Comes out of nowhere. Giant whale power, ultimate power of the universe. Hey, whitey kid from an extra dimension. I'm getting my ass beat by you. What's going on here?
And he eats lead for breakfast.
Who eats lead for breakfast?
Hot lead.
Yeah. So aside from that, I love the fact that he got owned. To me, it feels it strengthens the character later on for development. It will strengthen the character for development afterwards. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, I loved when the new law was introduced. It develops the entire story. The Lanterns aren't able to kill now. What will they do for it? Who will decide to do what? Who would choose this path rather than who would not? People adapt to it easier than others. It was a great story. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Even though Kyle became Parallax and stuff. But yeah. I give it an A.
Alright. And I'll also put in the Ion one-shot, which was the kind of the aftermath Ion. I kind of like the fact that it also, since not only is Superboy Prime pretty much I like later on when Nero escaped and everything, and pretty much by then, you know, he had learned a little bit better with Ion power that Kyle never learned, turned his constructs against them, and at that moment it was a great growth for him, because he's like, damn, why couldn't I have done that against Prime? Oh, well.
Well, that's because Prime had what, heat vision?
And eight lead.
You can't convert heat vision to Green Lantern power. I don't think that works. I'm pretty sure the science, you know, the molecules, the matter can't change that way.
Right.
It's basic chemistry.
But we're
elementary, my dear Watson.
Very good, Holmes. Very good.
Yeah, so it's an A still. We love Sinestro, Core War. You know, applause to everybody involved in that. I mean, we all love you, man. It was a great story. It kicked ass, so. We'll also talk briefly about the Blue Beetle tie-in. And I'll tell you right now, I do a review for Blue Beetle on comicsextreme.com. Shameless plug here. And the book's coming to an end. Aww. But the tie-in, some people call it unnecessary, and some say it was important, as you know, Kuhan would say, set up a resolution with Peacemaker. I thought it was interesting because it kind of also plugged in what happened in, I believe it was Green Lantern Corps 17, when the Sinestro Corps member of Sector 2 was killed by our favorite rock guy. And the ring goes to Peacemaker and pretty much hooks up, and we pretty much learn the whole past and everything, as well as the Blue Beetle scarab that's in Peacemaker's spine. And if anything, I felt very sorry for him at the end when he pretty much shoves his beetle, you know, scythe into his back and pretty much pulls out the scarab and heals him and pretty much is left pretty much bleeding to death in Blue Beetle's arms, and he can't do anything but watch. So I'll give the story a B minus because it resolved some things. It had some great character moments, but I think they could have still done it without the Sinestro Corps tie-in, because I think they're just trying to boost sales. And what do you think about that, Kuhan?
It's been a little while since I read this issue, but it was definitely a decent issue. But it was definitely a pretty good issue of Blue Beetle. It wasn't a good Sinestro Corps War tie-in. That's basically what I want to say. But the thing is, I read that book a couple times, I read the Blue Beetle book. I read it for a little while, and then I stopped reading for a little while, and then I came back in at this issue, and I got really confused.
What about you, Ray?
I like the issue. I liked it a lot. I barely remember it right now, just because I was reading the Blue Beetle issues, and then I read that issue that tied into the Sinestro Corps War, and I was like, okay, so you're doing this just solely to, like, you know, raise sales. Solely to raise sales.
Yeah, because Blue Beetle sales never do. Blue Beetle never does well as a book. And it's like, hey, let's get those Green Lantern fans to buy our book.
What kind of crossover are we doing now? What kind of crossover? Oh, yeah, let's stick with the Green Lanterns.
What do you mean a giant crossover? They just both happen to kind of be from space. Although, it would make sense to have a Blue Beetle tie-in. Just, it wasn't the Blue Beetle line they took it apart. You know?
Exactly. The cover really was misleading, too, because it almost looked like Jaime was going to be completely involved, and he wasn't.
Yeah, because it is true that the Reach and the Green Lanterns had that whole animosity, truth, whatever. But this definitely was not a good way to handle that. They definitely could have incorporated the Reach, you know, working with Sinestro as maybe two issues or something like that. Two issues of Blue Beetle crossover, Blue Beetle has to go stop the whatever, I don't even know.
Right. Yeah, okay, and West, I know, didn't read the book, so we'll kind of move in. So it was kind of, don't worry, West, as you can see, it didn't finish much. You all like Jaime Reyes, but no.
Jaime Reyes.
Hey, I said his first name right.
You said Jaime.
It's not Jaime?
No, it's Jaime.
No, it's Jaime.
He's Mexican.
He's got Spanish.
Oh.
You don't hear a jump.
It's Jaime.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, the Green Lantern podcast has become the Green Lantern English class now.
It's Jaime. It's Jaime. It's the Spanish version of Jaime, actually.
And just to say for the rest of the audience, we can also broadcast in Espanol.
Yeah, sí.
Idiomas, but tú puedes entender en español.
Los mostrillos cómicos del Blue Beetle son muy inteligentes. I don't even know.
Sí.
I did.
We tried, man. We plugged your book, but we're gonna miss you in a couple weeks. So, but we'll see you on the Brave and the Bold.
I did actually. Quick thing. I actually did buy the Spanish issue of Blue Beetle, the alternative issue.
And oh, yeah.
And I showed it to my Spanish teacher and got extra credit.
Oh, you all.
Yes.
Awesome.
Come on. Damn, where were you when I was in 10th grade? Oh, man.
I have since lost that issue. It's in my house somewhere.
Ay, caramba. Milagro.
Nada,
huh? Okay. For our next storyline, now that we all hate Kuhan right now, we love him at the same time. We're gonna have a wonderful intro to the Alpha Lantern storyline tie-in with Baduka. So take it away, Kuhan.
Yeah, Grand Morrison, man. Hey Jeff, could you call up the could you add these Alpha Lanterns into the book, man? I really need them for Final Crisis. It's not even that. Oh yeah. And West is sitting here with a morphin fetish. I'm sorry, West.
Oh, Grant's never coming on our podcast.
Oh no, Grant would never come on our podcast anyways.
I know. Oh. Anywho, so the Alpha Lanterns, we decided to focus on Baduka, our favorite Alpha Lantern now who has two hands again is Dina Warrior Princess in Space, and we actually get an origin for her in the storyline. But pretty much we also can see that an Alpha Lantern can dismantle Manhunters just by looking at them because of the Manhunter protocols. Yay. And we, of course, see Arvid, the Green Lantern, whose brother is Hasp, the Hunter of Sinestro Corps, and he just can't fight his brother. Aww. But anyhow, I know. So pretty much, our favorite Alpha Lantern is returned to her sector. We found out her history, and we found out the Green Lantern there, which is Zael, who's her blood sister!
Gasp.
Dun, dun, dun!
Is the Green Lantern and their other blood sister, Rekka.
Gasp.
Dun, dun, dun!
Petite, busty, Brunt, who's our other sister, want to use the power ring to pretty much kick ass and take names and screw the Guardians of the Universe. And Zael pretty much chooses the side of her sister to defeat their other sisters, and in the end, the Guardians pretty much said, okay, you two are not going to work together. You can, Zael, you have to power your ring from, your sister and vice versa.
Your sister's chest. You have to stick your hand in your sister's chest to power your ring. Kind of weird.
Okay, plunge your fist into my bosom.
Okay, wow. Went a little bit farther than I did, man. That was a little creepy.
Where are the small children?
He said like, fuck 12 times. Dude, some kid's gonna go to the mom and be like, Mommy, what does bosom mean? And what is fuck? It's gonna be like, son, let me see that computer. Smash, smash, smash.
I'm writing a detailed 3-page email, even though I'm the human resources director at a hospital. Hold on, click.
For any complaints, that's our email is glspotlight@gmail.com.
We love email. Even hate mail. It makes us feel important.
We want some love. We need any kind of email. Please.
So, basically, after reading this two-parter, I thought I was watching an old episode of the Patty Duke Show between Harvard and Baduka and Zael and Hass the Hunter and little baby Mo over in the corner, Manhunter. So, I give this a C-. They tried. And hey, if you can have one sister for power ring from your other sisters, just say more power to you. That's all I'm gonna say.
More power to you from the bosom. But I'm team.
And Ray, why don't you take this off for me? Because I'm gonna have to go pee now.
Okay.
I cannot breathe.
Okay. It was interesting. It was a weird way to introduce the Alpha Lanterns into this entire series. After the introduction in the Green Lantern book, but it's just
You gotta call up on Grant Morrison, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Grant Morrison, you know, had a great idea of making these giant robotic Green Lanterns that get power charged for chest.
Hey, didn't he do that, like, with the Manhunter 7 million years ago? That was such a good idea back then.
Yeah, possibly, but it probably works even better now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, totally. It must work better now.
Okay, I've washed my hands. I'm good.
Come on, logically.
Please, you're distracting me. Aside from that, negative C.
Oh, wow. Negative C?
Negative C. That's what I give the book.
It's the opposite of Sunny D. Doesn't have the power of the sun, it has the power of the sun. And take power from your sister's bosom. Okay.
Wow.
West, how about you?
As a Morrison fan, I like the concept. I just didn't like the delivery. It didn't do anything. You know, it was a weird looking book. The cover was nice. Covers. But besides that, this was not the best way to introduce the Alpha Lanterns to the core. I'd give it a C plus. It wasn't terrible. It's just awkward.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with that. How about you?
I'm gonna do the entire review as Grant Morrison. Hold on.
We're ready.
You know, I think I should have written this issue because the Alpha Lanterns was my idea. And then you know, if I had written this issue, I would have probably introduced the Alpha Lanterns into the core. You know. The writing was subpar. I mean, I didn't even write a book. I can't do this.
I think Kuhan has earned his fudge sickle for today.
C minus. Let's just go on.
Yeah, Grant, we love you, man, but sorry.
More power to you, Grant.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah,
I can't breathe.
Yeah, like I said, he's earned his fudge sickle right now. He needs to get his throat back normal. So we'll move on to Ring Quest, which continues from the aftermath of the Sinestro War. Well, Mongol's been pretty busy. He's been grabbing Black Mercy plants and seeds and throwing them across the cosmos. But he's also been tracking other Sinestro Core rings, and pretty much he tells them, whoever gets these rings, follow me or die. Well, they usually say no, so he kills them and takes their ring. One finally finds it to a Siamese twin alien at a psychiatric institute who's just murdered a bunch of people, who somehow was a Sinestro Corps member in the Sinestro Corps War Annual and then somehow got depowered and put in an institution and got the ring back. Only one.
I think it was slightly different. I think it was two different guys.
They wanted to use that and something went wrong. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah,
so,
no.
You're right. It's two different people.
Yeah, it's definitely two different characters.
So his name is Duel, duh, and pretty much Mongo gives him the same spiel. He said, oh, sure, we'll stick with you. Well, all the rings have disappeared off the map, and the Guardians are kind of scared, even though they won't admit it. So they call their what we'll call them the Green Lantern Elite, and we got, Princess Eye, Voth, Ismat, Arisa, Natu, Stell, and by the way, Natu looks great in the bikini, and Guy Gardner, who's asleep at the bar. That's something different. Kyle is making very demented, deviant art images in his apartment, and then Ion finds the ring.
Dude, Kyle and I are totally on the deviant art account. www.deviantart.com deviantart.com/GL28144.
Shameless plug part two, everyone.
It's more like Horse Bear.
Yeah, so anyhow, the Green Lanterns the Green Lanterns start pretty much finding up the rings as they can, and they're either killing Green Lantern members or sending their arms back to Oa to be destroyed. And, of course, they head towards the Vegas system where they're getting the biggest power, and they, which, of course, I and Arisa do, and they find out Mongol's there who attaches Black Mercy. But instead of Black Mercy giving them infinite bliss, it's their worst fears brought to life. For Ara's, I'm not even going to go with that panel because it was very, very disturbing. And meanwhile, poor Yat, good old Ion's being brutally attacked, hated by his people, killed by all 8 Green Lantern Corps ring, all 8 Color Ring Corps, and so forth. Well, they go to fight Mongol and chase and kill the Black Mercy plants there, and guess what? The Black Mercies have a main plant called Mother Mercy. They're killing her babies. I'm sorry, Kuhan, but they are. I had to say it. So she gets pretty pissed and attacks them, but they find out that Black Mercy was not created or evolved to be what it is. It was meant to basically ease and soothe people who are dying and feed off their bodies and nourish them after they died. Aww.
It's cool. They're just lead babies.
Yeah. So basically, the Doula Mongol show. Yeah.
They're not even humanoid.
Yeah, exactly. They're actually plants. It's Feeny Seymour. But basically, Mongo and Duel show up, pretty much attached to new Fear Mercies. That's what I'm calling them, to all the Green Lanterns, and their worst fears are coming to life. And wow, you know, poor Iz. Basically, he's a lizard dinner. And Voth is committing suicide. And I'm not even going to go with what happened to Kyle, because that was also wrong. And poor Guy, man, Ice is dying. All the people he loves is dying, showing that Guy has a heart. Aw. But pretty much they break free. Mother Mercy helps them, and they all go after him. And then in the final struggle, poor Biz flies out of Mongol's eye and chest. But in the process, Mongol pretty much falls to the planet, pretty much consumed by Mother Mercy and the Black Mercy plants. But Biz dies.
Worst death ever.
Agreed. It was. That was worse than Chip being ran over by a yellow truck.
very much so.
It falls, but Biz's ring and Duel's ring both fly to Mother Mercy, and she's chosen both the Sinestro Corps and the Green Lantern Corps, and she pretty much just destroys the Sinestro Corps ring, gives the Green Lantern, and says, "I'll be a Green Lantern from now on. I'll take care of it." And they fly with Biz's dead body back to Oa to bury him.
Mother Mercy is no replacement for Biz.
Wes, I'm gonna let you do this one first.
Besides the death of Buzz the Biz, I liked it. I really like seeing Mongol. I really like seeing him. I enjoyed it. I thought it could have been a lot better, but the death of Buzz really kind of took away from the book for me, especially with the way he went out. And I wouldn't be surprised if he got his eye back in the next couple of issues anyway.
That would suck, because Biz went out just attacking Mongol's eye. If they bring back his eye, I will go kill someone. Probably the guy. I will not kill a baby. I'll probably kill the guy who brings back Mongol's eye.
Just Black Mercy, right?
Okay, continue.
Overall,
I'll give it a C+. It was pretty good, but not terrific, you know.
How about you, Ray?
I liked the issue a lot. It was the return of Kyle Rayner in the Green Lantern Corps book.
Yay!
Again, from that, I really liked it. I like the setup. I like the fact that Mogul comes out of nowhere with his Fear Mercy plants. Mother Mercy was to me a great way of creating a secondary type of giant planet type thing to Mogul, I guess. Like, you have Mogo, then you have Mother Mercy planet.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so it's I want to see how that developed in the future. I liked it. The dual character was nobody. He was just expendable character. Entertained him. It was entertaining for the most part, but he was an expendable character. And aside from that, I did really like the fact that they go into the whole detail of fear aspect for both Mauricia and Ion, how similar they are in the fact of their fear. And I'll say this, the very first time when I saw that one panel with the 7 multiple colored or the 8 multiple colored rings that pierced through through Ion, I didn't even notice they were colored until the second time I read it. I was I completely passed through that. But it was great. I give it a B+.
All right. And how about you, Kuan?
I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't the best. It was definitely a decent story. The introduction of Mother Mercy makes sense with the Black Mercies, but the fact that she owns the entire planet kind of because if she's Buzz's replacement, then that makes her Moga's partner, which makes two planet partners, which I like the compliment of the tiny little one of the smallest Green Lanterns to the biggest Green Lantern. The compliment of two giant Green Lanterns, not so much.
Yeah, it kind of takes things away, and I will agree with you there. And Duel was pretty much disposable, and I never really honestly saw him go anywhere. Yeah, it was entertaining. I think that's all it was supposed to be. And I kind of like what Mongol's plan was and everything, but, you know, and he sure didn't show why he's such a badass, but, you know, he goes down after getting his arm severed and his eye popped out. You know, the Doomsday completely kicked his ass, and he was still alive a year later by Jeff Loeb. So, it was a nice story, and I liked the different things with the beer and the rings and everything else, but I was actually waiting for Mother Mercy, honestly, to get the indigo. I thought that was going to be the first representation of compassion.
Yeah. Mother Mercy. How is that not indigo?
Yeah, exactly. It's considering what the Mercy plans do, I mean, really, especially when she told her origin story, it made complete sense. I was waiting for them to leave, the rings to fly off, and all of a sudden, you know, a little lantern orb going, hey, guess what, you know, you show great compassion, welcome to the Indigo, you know? So, like you said, Kuan, set up in resolution, so, it wasn't a bad story. I will give it a B-. I liked it. It was a nice, and everybody really got to have their moments in the story, and everybody from Matu to Kyle to Guy to Yat to, you know, Aresia and everybody. So it had its moments, and I was a little upset about Buzz, Biz, whatever we want to call him, depending on our dialect, but, worst death ever, and I'm just going to leave it at that, so.
I mean, is that a great impact? It's like, worst death ever. It's just, it's the worst character to kill. It was like a Barry Allen death, as opposed to a Hal Jordan death. If you know where I'm going with this, the whole, I'm insane.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go kill everybody now, even though it makes absolutely no sense.
No, I understand what you're saying, yeah. Buzz's death was very, you killed Buzz? Buzz, of all people? So sad. He's a tiny little guy.
Well, they killed...
He had a big heart.
They killed...
Yeah, exactly.
They killed in Sinestro Corps War.
Well, you know we completely skipped that?
Did we?
Yeah, that Zeus died.
I was reminding myself to say that, and then I forgot. So I'm like, I'm forgetting something. I just can't think of what it is.
That tells you how forgettable it was. just like the Mongol story in Green Lantern. Anyhow.
But I'm seeing.
Anyhow, so we'll move on to the next two-parter storyline, which is we meet, of course, our favorite Vulcan Green Lantern, Sarek, you know, live long and prosper, because all of a sudden the eyes of the families of Green Lantern rookies are starting to show up being murdered, and there's somebody behind them, or some things behind them. Meanwhile, Mongol, who we last saw on Mother Mercy, is apparently alive. He pulls a sever arm out and flies back into space. But pretty much they discovered through Sarek's, you know, dead mind melds that pretty much the Sinestro Corps members, probably known as the, I'm going to say it, probably quintet at this point, which is pretty much, you know, quintuplets that are all Sinestro Corps members, brothers and sisters, are causing all this, and all the Green Lantern go to fight them, and two more members get killed, and pretty much they're the trio then, the terrible Sinestro trio, they get defeated, and by the end of it, well, let's see, Sarek gets approached by S'ar,
Scarpitch tells Sarek, I want you to communicate with the corpse of the Anti-Monitor!
Dun, dun, dun!
Yes! it is very... And also, Kuhan and other dead members are talking to Sarek and Moro, you know, our favorite crypt keeper for the Green Lantern. He's told, your brother says hello.
Wait. When did I die?
What?
When did I die?
No, I said Moro.
You said Kuhan.
I meant to say Kihan.
Right, that's what I figured. Wait a second. If I'm dead, then who's sitting here and where I am?
You're a Black Lantern.
Oh, whoa. Spoiler alert. Spoiler.
So, all that happens, and I'm just going to say it was okay. It was like CSI Green Lantern, what the storyline was with Sarek from Star Trek pretending to be the Ghost Whisperer meets CSI, and that's really all I call this storyline. So I'll give it a C, a solid C.
New show on...
Kuhana, go ahead.
I totally forgot about this story until you just mentioned it. I'm like, wait. I thought we went straight into the next story. I totally forgot about this. So, yeah, it was weird and confusing. I had to read both these issues at least twice. I liked Sarek. I think originally, in his original appearance, he looked exactly like Spock. But I'm pretty sure they got some sort of cease and desist, something like that. I'm pretty sure they got served.
Yeah, copyright infringement. That's a word
we're looking for. So they had to.
Today's word is copyright. That's why we don't copyright. Play songs and royalties.
Yeah, exactly. That's why that theme song you heard. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, it was definitely it was a solid story. Again, setup, resolution. No, it was just all set up. There was no real resolution. It was just all set up. I'll give it a B minus.
Oh wow. How about you, West?
I'd give it a B. Pretty much feel the exact same way as Kuhan does. I mean, it was alright. I wouldn't go that far at all. it was a good story. I'm not too big on Salak. No. The art was great. I like the art.
Wait. Salak or Sarek?
The art was beautiful. Sarek. Like Spock's father.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure what he said. Did you mean Sarek or Salak?
Doesn't
he said
matter.
Salak.
Well, Salak's got more arms, and Sarek's got Vulcan ears, so.
Sarek. the Ghost Whisperer.
The Ghost Whisperer. Now on new show on CBS, The Sarek Show.
There we go. Jennifer Love Hewitt as Arisa.
And Zachary Quinto is Sarek.
Oh!
I went there. What?
Right. Green Lantern Spotlight. We go there.
Oh, yeah. those are two slogans. We go there and set up resolutions.
We're going to have our own support group soon. We're just going to call it S&R and GT.
What?
Cert. Got cert. For separate solution and going there. Oh, man. Oh, God. Now you see why I do these podcasts. Anyhow. Ray, what about you? While we're all trying to catch our breath here.
It was a great setup, I would say. Zarek as a character was interesting. Not much else he did outside of that from the get-go, I could speak to dead people.
It's like the Sixth Sense! Where's Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis has showed up yet.
Bruce Willis is Hal Jordan, Zach McQuinto is Sarah. We've got this entire show cast, guys.
All right. Yeah, give us a call, Green Lantern. We're going to cast your movie. It will be great.
Let's call CBS.
Come on, Campbell. You know
NBC,
where we are.
ABC, Fox, WB. UPN will take the show.
With Hugh Laurie as the voice of Hamlet.
He'll
that would be awesome.
House is a guardian.
That would be awesome. Just send us the royalty checks. We should just earn money from this. The one great thing that I like about it was this whole pointing towards Kyle Rayner's whole fact that he's going nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one good point of this of the entire of that two issue the little skit there. Aside from that, I'll give the entire thing a C+.
Wow. We got B and C here. So yeah, we're calling this kind of above average.
It was a setup. Yeah, without the resolution.
And CBS and Warner Brothers is calling us now. Right now, my phone's vibrating. So apparently we're gonna have a it's a stupid text message. I love you, idiot. Now please send this to 5 more people. Oh, screw you, Becky. Stop sending me that crap.
Any question about where to send the checks can be directed again to that email, glspotletters@gmail.com. Any hate mail, if you want to send in this money, whatever you want to do.
And then you'll be happy.
Yeah.
So, moving from our favorite Vulcan Green Lantern, we're going to move to Sins of the Star Sapphire.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes!
Wait, what is this?
So anyhow, the Zamorons are pretty much letting the power of love fly through the universe, getting their
power
star
of love.
Yeah, we got it going, baby. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, yeah, we got it going. Anyhow, but a wonderfully new married couple is heading off to their honeymoon. I hate you people because you got married. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter over my ex. Anyhow, pretty much they're on their way, talking love, and Mongol pretty much flies to the ship, pigs out in the refrigerator, kills the husband, and leaves the wife, Murray, to pretty much watch and hold her lover die in her arms. Aww, and then he flies away. And meanwhile, the Guardians of the Universe decide they're going to do a mission of diplomacy, air quotes here, to Zamorron to pretty much tell them, stop this shit and don't have emotion. And pretty much brings Ion, Guy Gardner, yay, and that to Zamorron. And pretty much they get the Zamorron, and it's the China house. It's all pink and pretty and crystally, and there's sushi being served over on the side. And the Zamorons all have their own power ring and crystal, and they meet I'm going to probably really butcher her, so I'm just calling her Queen A, good old Queen A, because she's the A Alpha Queen. Queen of Hearts, don't mess with her, pretty much says, screw you, Guardians, and this is our planet, and we'll tell you when to leave. So there's the front door, let it hit you on your ass on the way out.
Go with the door, and I'll hit you with a good Lord split you.
Yeah, pretty much. And pretty much Kyle Rayner and Natu and that are with the pro, I'm going to say it, the Prues, I'm hoping because it's two O's, to find Cribs, an Astral Corps member who's killing Green Lanterns and taking her babies. And this is where Kuhan's now going to hide in the corner as we talk about this. And they find her at one of the Lantern houses, and boy, she just goes super apeshit on Crib, and Crib pretty much shucks her off, infects the other Green Lanterns to do her bidding, and pretty much is now going to do an emergency C-section on me and take their baby. And at that point, Kyle snaps out of it and starts kicking ass and sucks all the, I'm not going to say it, from Crib's control, and then they just wail on her. Meanwhile, good old Marie,
he wails on her. Wails.
Without Ion.
That's right.
He's busy seeing the power of love, and basically, yeah, my favorite line, get away from you, psychotic bitch. That said it all right there. But pretty much, poor Marie is chosen by a Star Sapphire ring. Comes a Star Sapphire, the ring tells her love is being threatened. She slingshots over to Grib and helps Kyle and that just kick her ass, and Kadar 8 decides, hey, I'm going to kill Crib. I don't care if she's defeated. And Crib pretty much slices and dices her, followed by Kyle just letting her have it. And Crib is captured, but she's taken by Marie, the Star Sapphire, who says they will fix her and make her, as other Sinestro Corps members, feel the love. And the crews pretty much say, yeah, and at that point it's revealed that the new law of Oa is revealed.
Oh, yeah. Dun, dun, dun!
And no Green Lantern Corps members can either have anything outside of platonic relationship. And pretty much, I know, they hate love. So the Prues and many other Green Lanterns pretty much like throw all their rings away, say, yeah, screw that, we love each other. And Crib goes back to Zamorod, and Zalak kind of looks up in the air as he gets one of the babies that Crib kidnapped in his hands and sees all the rings flying at him. And during all this, Zalak has also found out that apparently the Anti-Monitor Corps is heading towards Sector 666, which is, of course, where Green Lantern Ash, over in the main title, is tracking down the corpse body. So that's all tying into Blackest Night. And then that's the story, folks. That's Sins of the Star Sapphire. And let's go to the love guru himself, Kuhan.
Hey, Guardians, what's love got to do with it? So this was I like this story. I don't know how you guys felt about it. I thought it was a pretty solid, pretty good story. Some Kyle Rayner kickassery. The introduction to the Star Sapphire Corps, or whatever they're doing there. How insane the Amarons are, brainwashing all the female Sinestros. Weird. Definitely a good, solid story. As you said, it's just, everything both titles are doing right now are just pushing towards the Blackest Night. So, everything is set up. And then there's a tiny bit of a revolution in there. I'm going to give the story a solid B+.
And how about you, Ray?
I really liked it. I love the setup. I like the whole Sins of the Sapphire world, the Zamoranians, Zamorons. I love their crystallized giant China chop. It was great.
They still haven't given me the money back for the team title, Leo.
It's weird how it is. I was like, if anything goes wrong, just blow up the place. Why not?
It wasn't the Guardian. It was Scar, wasn't it? Scar.
It was Scar. Everything was wrong. Resolution. Go on.
Shut up. Well, dun dun dun. Epic foreshadowing.
Yeah, epic foreshadowing. Aside from that, it was I like the whole Kyle Rayner being very kick ass at the end of the story, going all Clint Eastwood on Crib, being all I can pretty much be. Very badass when he wants to.
Kyle's story there.
Yeah.
aside from that, I also find it very funny how the Star Sapphire,
Marie
was just pretty much quoting love songs.
Yeah, never got the oath.
Yeah, she just quotes out like freaking Pat Bratner for some reason, going out.
It's probably like that Benatar song. Some random song.
Either that little Tina Turner.
It's the Barney. It's the Barney theme. It's the Barney. I love you. Once again, we go there.
That's right.
Right now, PPBS is breaking down my door, and I see Elmo. We're screwed.
it's a Simpsons reference out there. I caught that.
And then outside of all that, the very last part where everyone saw it coming, but I guess it was fun to have the whole, hey, Kyle, you love Natsu, Natsu, you love Kyle. Wait till next issue.
OMG!
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, One Tree Hill. Kyle, forlorn, looks at Ocean, out of Natu, but I don't know what to do. Natu, oh my god, I have to go to medical school.
It's the Green Lantern Corps soap opera.
The CW may be crashy, but we're still going.
This is great. Okay,
we're the Teenage Green Lantern Corps on the CW after Smallville.
Exactly. No, here we go. I got it. Dude. No, here it is, dude. We got the Sarek show over on CBS, right? And we got the Teenage Green Lantern Corps over here on CW. What else we got? Come on, we gotta keep pitching these ideas, guys. Keep pitching these ideas.
We got Guy Gardner on NBC.
Guy Gardner, yes. We're doing this.
What did you say, Wes?
Guy needs to be on Showtime. He's too expensive for local television.
Oh, it's Californication with Guy Gardner, everybody.
Oh, yes.
Big time.
it's like Oa Fornication.
And then we'll put Nat 2 on ABC. We'll have our own, Doctor of Sector 1417. Crossing over with Dr. House on Fox. And then we're going to have on Fox Kyle Rayner, Deeply Disturbed. Yeah, we love them. Tonight, Fringe.
And then of course, we had like a Friends parody somewhere. We'll get
Killifog on the Discovery Channel with Green Lantern Busters.
The Friends will be Babsar and it's my goal.
Just starting Risa and Ion as their crazy naked next door neighbor with a whale.
What is that? This is a pun show. We're just doing puns. I feel like you're just sticking.
It's a Green Lantern pun cast. Yeah, thank you.
It's just shtick. We're doing shtick this time. It's horrible.
I see Jackie Gleason over there ready to come on in and do our...
I'm looking at our subscriber count. It's constantly going out. It's like, we're down to like 12, 7, 3, and we're down to just me. It's just me now.
Oh, we're all gonna burn in hell for this someday.
Okay.
Hear that? Or Dan's office with Grant Morrison barbecuing us, saying, "Yeah, that's right." And Wes going, "No, I loved you, Grant. Come on, hey. Impersonations, burn the non-believers."
It's like, hey, this is what you get for loving my stories.
Come on, Alpha Lantern's bosom.
It's not even what I sound like. Okay.
Brigadoon. That's right. Broadway's next. I'm going to start taking songs from Wicked next. What? Only the Wicked. Leave no one water. Wants from Wicked.
What do we have left?
That's our review of the Green Lantern Corps, and we're just going to throw a little shout-out to the Omens and Origins storyline. Just started with starring Scar, the Guardian who is no longer a Guardian, the Book of Black. I got the Secret Six issue in the Adventure Comics because, it was a dollar, and it was the original Legion superhero storyline, so I liked it. But I felt like if we wouldn't have been throwing Doug Mankey to finish up Final Crisis and everything, we would have gotten the end of Rage of the Red Lanterns. I think we would have seen everything with Scar, what was going to happen. Here it was kind of, like I said, the end of the issue. You didn't see that one coming, right? To be continued in June, issue one. And I said, no, we all saw that. We just didn't see the Book of Black. So,
it wasn't bad.
And I'll give both stories by Gail Simone and Jeff Johns, because the artwork was gorgeous on them, and it kind of was the redoing of 52's origin storyline, but it was setting up for Blackest Night. I'll give it a B because it was good. I liked it, and there were nice stories.
I haven't read these yet. I still need to go pick them up. But I'm just going to say this. I'm pretty sure I pronounced Doug Monkey.
Really?
I think so. Kind of weird.
I'm sorry
this. I was going to say something, but I can't remember. So, did anybody else read this?
I haven't.
I know Wes did.
Wes?
I'm sorry, what?
You read the... that tells you right there, DC, we don't care. No,
thinking ironing break?
Yeah, Omens and Origins storylines.
Oh,
Origin Omens.
I didn't. I didn't get any books this week, actually.
Oh.
We'll talk about it next time.
Yeah, we'll get into more, and then we'll have about 8 stories to talk about.
Exactly. It's not 8, yeah, but it's 8 really short stories, and I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, we have, starring Scar. Everybody's answered in Nip-Tuck.
Scar, wait a second. Like, Scar, wait a second. Last I checked, he was getting killed by Simba. What?
Oh!
Okay, you know what? That only happened because there's a Lion King 1.5 DVD right in front of me.
That was something I didn't need to know tonight.
I wonder why it's there.
You know what? My baby cousin left it just on top of the DVD player.
No, that's good. I have Jumper here, Hayden Christensen, so, you know, hey, we're good.
I got a bicep and a firefly next to me. That's about it.
Is it time to put the
Yeah. You must be good hiding.
He's got his ironing clothes, man. He's got his irons in next to him.
It's 3 feet away.
But it's there.
It's within our... Dude, 3 feet, that's within our reach, man.
It's a yard.
I think we should start closing out the episode now because...
Yeah, that's it, folks. And if we're not banned from iTunes and the internet in general and Disney, Warner Brothers, HBO, and too many other network here that will probably be burning our corpses and we'll just be erased from history, that's going to do it for the Green Lantern Spotlight Cast Episode 2. And, wow, how did we do all this? Because, wow, we're very, I'll say it right now, we're explicit. We're very fucked up, folks, and we're sober and we do this. We love it. Right. And we all come from across the country, so
let me plug everything we got. If you want to, you know, engage in Green Lantern discussion with us, head over to the Green Lantern Corps forum. That's thegreenlanterncorps.com/forum, run by the generous Andrew NDB, who is hosting this podcast, which we totally forgot that the first podcast was the first day we were out of bandwidth.
Yeah.
So
we're actually a hit. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, man. We're gonna meet one of these days. I'm gonna buy you a round of 9 beers or whatever you drink, and then we're gonna go out and go to a strip club. So yeah.
So thank you, Andrew, for hosting the podcast. thanks to God Mera who got the podcast early and
yes.
Hosted up on I think Rapid Share. And said, yes. Give it out to everybody. So that was great of you. If you want to read more of Ryan's insane comments, that's glspotlight.blogspot.com. If you want to listen to me talk about South Park, that's parkcast.wordpress.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, if you have it, that's right, Twitter. Twitter.com/QHAN, KUHAN. And if you want to get our, if you're a TV network and you want more of our amazing ideas of Green Lantern TV shows, that's glspotlight@gmail.com. That's also where you send hate mail and questions.
And remember, folks, I'm perfect for Hollywood because half of my family is Jewish. Okay.
We go there. Anybody else have anything to plug? Because I'm out of plugs here.
Go ahead, Wes. You go.
Wally's World blog on the GreenLanterCorps.com.
Which is awesome.
Oh, hold on. Yes. I got another plug. This is another forum that I go to. Wes and I both go to SpeedsterSite. It's just starting up. It's all about the Flash. SpeedsterSite.proboards.com. I am losing my... I have lost my voice. I cannot speak anymore.
I know. I'm getting there myself.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I have a lot of water.
Rainer, you have anything?
I have nothing except to say GL Spotlight, podcast, we go there. That's right. We go there.
Yeah. Coming to the end.
Thank you, DeGrasse.
And Kevin Smith for loving Degrassi.
Okay. I'm gonna do
my usual thanks to the whole thing, Mythos, Andrew, Maverick, Jay Choo Choo, who couldn't make it, Will Sanchez, man, we've been thinking of you. We're sorry you couldn't make it out for this cast. We miss you, buddy. We'll see you soon. I'm going to give a yell out to, you know, besides the Green Lantern Corps, I'm going to give a yell out to the comicsextreme.com, where they have reviews, they have contests, they have blogs, and you can even find me up there for my daily weekly reviews on various books, one of them being Blue Beetle, and all the crazy people there. I'm also going to give a shout-out to Spider-Man Crawl Space Podcast because they plugged us a little bit in the message boards a little bit. So, you know, thank you, Brad, and everybody else, and we'll get you on here when we can. And the only thing I'm going to do is what's coming up for the spotlight. March is now going to be Blue Lantern Month due to the delay of Agent Orange, which I'm kind of pissed about. We got Flash Month coming up in April, and I know Wes is jumping up and down for that. We're going to be doing our next podcast, which will hopefully be in a week and a half here, which I will be recording and editing. I know Kuhan is going to be very happy about that.
Oh, thank Chuck Norris.
I got my tax return. Yay. Anyhow, so hopefully I'll be learning it and everything here in the next couple weeks. Final Crisis, and hopefully we'll all be there, and we're going to bring in some special guests, hopefully, from other casts to debate, and it's probably a five-hour cast, so bear with us on that. Coming up in March, Ron Mars, creator of Kyle Rayner and Green Lantern, you know, Green Lantern writer for many years, will be joining us in March. We don't have
a date
yet. April Moose will be joining us.
Oh, yeah, Moose Boat.
He will be talking all things about the business and his work on Green Lantern and everything and why we just love the man. And then we will take a short break until end, probably after Memorial Day due to the scheduling conflicts with me, and we'll pick up from there. And we're hoping, praying, I'm emailing that Jeff Johns will join us before Blackest Night starts. I'm crossing my fingers.
And I'm going
to try.
Here we go. I got it.
And we're going to try to do a call-in show.
I have two things to say again. Oh, not two things. I have a recommendation. I want you guys to go to the beginning of the episode and listen to me talk. And then come here and listen to me talk again and spot the differences. My voice is gone. In 5 minutes, if I keep talking, I swear to God, I will not be able to speak for another day.
That will be the new podcast drinking game. Spot the difference in Kuhan's voice.
Oh, yeah.
and what DVDs we're holding in front of us.
Okay.
So I'm going to thank everybody here. Wes, Rayner, Kuhan, thank you guys so very much for putting up with a dumbass like me and for the last 2 hours and doing this show. And Kuhan, yeah, buddy, I owe you a date with my sister.
Okay.
She's
16. I might want to see her first.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
So, let's close this out. For the spotlight, I'm Kuhan.
I'm Wes.
Rayner.
And I am Ryan Reed, as known as the Beeb. So, thank you, and God bless all.
Sounds like Wes losing his voice, too.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps and all related characters are property of DC Comics and do not reflect the authenticity of this podcast.